It's showtime.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man. After we eat, we can watch that YouTube footage of Miley Matlin calling movie phone.
Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Last Mimti.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Please say the name of the movie you'd like to see now.
The Last Mimti.
You have selected 300. If this is the movie you'd like to see, say yes now.
No.
You have confirmed 300.
And now,
O.J. Simpson was found guilty Friday on charges of armed robbery, assault, and kidnapping, but really murder.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, you do get that feeling, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I don't really at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're all happy.
Well, no, the reason, yeah, but I mean, I think he was convicted because there was so much overwhelming evidence against him for this crime that it didn't matter whether he had previously been involved with the law or not.
There was the last one too, dude.
I know that, yeah. I mean, believe me, I'm not arguing that case. I'm saying in this case, I can't imagine there are many juries that would not have convicted him with, you know, with audio and video.
It was a lot less scientific than the last trial, which I think helped tremendously. But you're right. It was emails, and they apparently taped the whole thing,
recorded tons of eyewitnesses. Yeah. who all testified against him. I mean, I don't know how he could have dodged this one, to tell you the truth.
He's so stupid.
Yes, he is.
You know, like the guy got away with the most public double murder maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't enough for him.
Couldn't stay clean.
I'm going to push it again. I'm going to try something else. I'm going to bring a gun. What is wrong with him?
You're right.
That's so great.
But it definitely made a lot of people happy. There's no question about that.
What are they saying about sentencing? Is he going to be in jail for
I don't know when the sentencing is, but it's very likely he'll spend the rest of his life in jail. He's already in jail and in solitary confinement, they say, for his own safety. So that's probably what he's looking at forever. I mean, one of those charges, Lisa, isn't it 15 to life?
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's got 11 others. So. Yeah. Yeah, this is probably it for the juice.
Isn't that amazing that this is what puts him away?
So that's the rest of his life in jail, which is about 3 or 4 days with good behavior.
I hope that's not the case. Hey, they finally got Al Capone? They finally got for tax evasion? Sometimes it's not the major crime. You know, they got Bill Clinton for lying. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's oftentimes something that's not the major crime that gets you into trouble.
Oh, so good to hear guilty on all counts.
It was weird the way they did it, too, at 11 o'clock on Friday night.
Oh, I didn't know that's when they – why did they do it at 11 o'clock on Friday night? They just didn't want to
– that's when the jury was done, I guess?
They didn't want to – look, I got plans on Saturday.
I bet that happens.
I got to watch the fight because Kimbo Slice, Ken Shamrock, that's Saturday night. So we need to be done. Let's move this along.
But usually so often in a high-profile case, the judge will receive word that the jury has reached a verdict, and he'll say, all right, we'll convene usually the next court day at 10 a.m. But I guess they figured there was no reason to. It's not like it was a media circus down there. You know, the courtroom was half empty most of that trial. It's not like it was even a big deal in Las Vegas.
Why? I wonder why that was.
I think people are over the juice, maybe.
I think they burn out. Yeah, the idea of O.J. in a courtroom is just it burns people out.
Maybe they were just thinking, oh, here we go again.
Here we go again, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, not here we go again. Hmm. OJ's in solitary
not
confinement right now.
That's awesome.
How about that?
What a moron.
and basically, just to say one last thing about it, you're so right how stupid he is because his defense all along was, I was just trying to get my stuff back.
Yeah.
Well, then you call the police. If somebody stole your stuff and you know where it is, you call the police.
Dude, the police planted the glove. He can't trust them.
He can't trust them. That's true. So it's better to get some guns and some big beefy guys and go in there and take care of it yourself.
And by the way, not one of the people in that trial, I don't know how closely you were following it, none of them they're all shady. Shady as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of those guys that was involved in the trial was like, oh, okay, this guy is shady.
That's what the jury said. They said, we didn't believe any of the witnesses.
Yeah, they all flipped, and that's how they ended up with so much evidence, though, is because these guys were so shady that they were recording it so that they could sell it to the media. I mean, that's why there was so much proof against O.J.
Wow.
It's because everyone he hangs out with is a thug.
Don't you think he could find some more intimidating-looking dudes, though? Especially if he was going to go rob a dude. Like, they all look like fat asses. And
but yeah, I don't
they
think do. He became friends with them in order to rob.
No, but, I mean, if I'm O.J., I think I could gather some pretty thuggish dudes. I mean, O.J.'s like... He's probably an icon.
He should have gone out and recruited.
Yeah, he's probably an icon in the thug community. Yeah.
Who wants to go
should have gone to Craigslist?
With me.
Yep, exactly.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:35, and it's Monday, the 6th of Foxtober.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
I, too, am a big fan of vagina.
Nice.
Did you guys see that movie over the weekend?
Which one?
How to...
Alienate people and lose friends?
Lose friends? No. Did you?
Yeah.
Not
How
so
was it?
Good. You're having a bad look on your face. I mean, let's set aside that Megan Fox is hot. We know
she's
that.
She's way hot, first of all.
Setting that aside.
Yes.
Worth seeing just for her, though, I bet.
Setting that aside.
To me, yes. But you know okay. who the other girl was, right? In the movie?
Fuck.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes. So Simon Pegg's character, at one point, Megan Fox is laying on the ground. And she's drunk, and she says, "Are you as drunk as I am?" And he says, "Yes." He's wanted to have sex with her the whole movie. And she says, "Boy, it's a good thing I don't have any coke, because I get really horny when I have coke." So Simon Pegg runs and finds some coke.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Then he's running back to Megan Fox, and he runs into Kirsten Dunst, who's drunk and getting ready to drive.
Oh, and he can't let that happen.
So now he looks over at Megan Fox, and Kirsten Dunst is here, and she needs his help.
Right.
So the most unlikely thing that has ever happened in the history of cinema happens. He goes, "I'll drive you home."
like, I just call her a cab and then nail Megan Fox?
Nope. Never happened. I laughed out loud when I saw it. I was like, come on. come on. Stop it. He had the coke, you know, in his pocket. She was sitting over there just waiting. Kirsten Dunst. See, that's my problem with her. Not that she's that. She's a great actress.
She's an okay actress.
But as the other woman who is going to attract a dude more than, say, Megan Fox, doesn't really work.
Not believable.
I did not buy it for a second.
Plus, an auto accident and maybe some sort of plastic surgery afterwards would probably improve Kirsten Dunst. I mean, that's maybe what she needs, is some sort of face through the windshield.
Fix. Yeah.
Yeah. Then while they got her under there, they fix her face and they fix her
teeth,
and give her a boob job. I mean, there's a lot they can do for her while she's out.
Right?
I'm just saying at that point, the movie left reality for me, and I was like, all right, I'm out. No person on the face of this planet would make that decision.
How great is Simon Pegg, though?
He's way better than the movie.
He's always better. He's always great in everything he does. I saw Run, Fat Boy, Run. Again, I had seen it in the theater, but I saw it. It was on HBO or something this weekend. I saw that. Funny dude.
Yep. He's always good. And in this one, the material isn't all that great, and he somehow just rises above it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you're watching him or Megan Fox on screen, everything's great. So that was my weekend. This was Mike's weekend. That would be better if that was
Thursday. Sounds dull.
Be a lot better. Try it one more time.
I don't know that. This time I'm looking at it. It's not something I screwed up.
It's a...
That's...
Whoa.
That's weird.
Lisa, did you see
it's
that?
It's haunted. The okay. board is haunted.
That was weird.
Yeah, no one pushed anything. They're just standing there and then it goes.
There was three Dodgers and we only heard one, the last one, and we didn't touch anything when that happened. Oh, this place is haunted.
I'm telling you.
There we go.
That works.
Sure now.
Cubs fans did not look happy.
But they also swept. Did not look surprised, right?
But getting swept, I mean, that's just brutal.
Yeah.
They had the second best record. Oh. The Angels, what? They're 1-1 now? So
they're alive, yeah. They're still alive.
They won one in the 12th inning. They were down 2-9 and were tied and took 12 innings to finally bring one around and live for another day.
What time did that end on the East Coast?
4 a.m. It was odd.
I don't know. But they had the Angels had lost 11 playoff games in a row to the Red Sox, by the way. So this was a tough curse.
Because a lot of people were saying Angels probably World Series, Cubs probably World Series.
Yes.
Neither, looks like. Maybe the Angels are still alive.
Could happen.
Still alive, yeah. They're playing again tonight at Fenway, back still in Boston. So it's going to be tough, but we'll see what happens.
And tell me that you saw the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans.
A good football
I
game.
Saw the highlights of it, and the most incredible pass, the most incredible catch I've ever seen someone make a touchdown with.
Yep. 27-10, Houston was ahead with 4 minutes to go. Lost.
You're kidding. Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable.
How does that happen?
I don't know. Just really, really bad luck.
Wow.
And a quarterback who just decided it was time to give the game away.
Oh, yep. My God.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Ways your boss tried to motivate you.
Oh, I love these stories. Because they're so bad.
Well, I guess their heart's in the right place because they want, you know, to motivate their salespeople or whatever. But
it's always so corny.
It's always corny. You feel like a third grader. It just it does not come out well. And we have a dude like that here at K-Rock, and now it's just bad, bad news.
We really do.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
On the program today. Catch you up on all the entertainment news. Bean's life has been ruined by a gaggle of puppies. Are they a gaggle? What are they when they're...
Well, I call it an infestation.
Infestation.
I'm seriously in the Yellow Pages looking for some sort of exterminator. There's got to be some way to cut down on the numbers of puppies in my house. It has to be.
He hasn't told us anything. I am dying to hear what the hell happened.
I'm in hell. I'm officially in puppy hell.
Guessing it's your fault.
Well, of course. Here's the thing.
No,
it's not like they just showed up.
Here's the thing. Puppy, a tremendous amount of work.
Absolutely.
Puppies... You're asking for death.
It's
ridiculous. You want them to kill you.
It is. It's retarded. It really is. Couldn't be worse. How can something so cute cause so much misery?
Something that Bean has enjoyed in the past as well.
Yeah, yes. You should know about this.
Not anymore. And do celebrities actually sway your vote? Because I don't think they do. I'm guessing not. But a lot of people seem to believe it.
I think they do if they're saying something that makes sense. It doesn't matter whether they're a celebrity or not, though.
Right, but if they're saying something that makes sense to the person who's listening, then that person who's listening was going to go that way anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right?
Well, we'll talk about it later. All right. We'll talk about it later.
Just seems like it doesn't make any sense. And I cannot take this election for another day.
Less than a month, dude.
Did you watch Saturday Night Live?
Yes. Very
this
funny.
Is awesome.
Very funny.
Isn't she unbelievable?
And he was great, too. I just
the dude that played Joe Biden?
I love John McCain. He's insane.
He's unstable. He's a close friend.
I'd take a bullet for him. He's a raving lunatic.
So funny.
Well, they are going out of their way to be nice to the dude.
Yeah.
That's true.
While condemning him at the same time. So it is funny. That's a horrible TV show, that SNL,
really?
Though.
I mean, tried to watch more of it, and
so
I could
bad.
Not. It was
it's
awful.
So bad, but they have lightning in a bottle. I mean, right now, they couldn't be any better, and the ratings couldn't be any higher just because of Miss Tina Fey and how lucky she was that they picked Sarah Palin. But,
we
got some highlights of that for you, too. We got a lot of ground to cover. It was a very eventful weekend.
Plus, there's the weirdest thing happened at the Kimbo Slice fight. Did I mention that?
Yes, it was weird.
I don't know what.
It was
weirdness.
It was beyond weird.
I've never seen anything like it in my whole life. No. It was just one bizarre thing after another.
It was as if they were writing a sitcom about an MMA fight. You know what I'm saying? Like all these wacky things happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does everybody expect? To fight? Okay, no. Okay, so they're not going to fight. What? They're going to cancel the last second? What? It was just a bizarre night.
All right.
But Kimbo's still on the... on the mat, so that's not good for him. All right, 5:44. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the showbiz beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Wow, dude. Wow, bummer. What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah. Beverly Hills mother effing chihuahua is what's going on. What's going on with this country?
What? No, not number one.
Oh, by
far.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, $30 million, bitch.
Listen to Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Who didn't
listen to Mike,
go,
the chi owner. Guys, look, I...
Before we move on, Dean, before we move on.
Yes.
Did you go?
No. I
you swear?
I swear to God.
All right, back to
you. But you will, though, right, Mike?
I'm not saying I wouldn't have if I, you know, I didn't have a less busy weekend.
We've talked about this before, and Kevin knows more than anybody that you got to take your kids to movies sometimes. They love going to the movies, and oftentimes there's not much out there for the kiddies. I mean, let's face it. Look at the other movies in the top 10. Tell me what else would be appropriate for kids. You're not taking them to freaking Burn After Reading, right?
True.
So a movie like this comes along that you know is safe. It may be stupid. It may be bad, but you know it'll get your kids happy for a couple of hours. You take them. I understand that. But $29 million for the freaking talking chihuahua movie? Come on, America.
And that's pure profit because they don't pay chihuahuas much.
Where's Bernie Mac when you need him?
Well, why are you fat, America?
Where's Bernie Mac when you need him? That's an awful question.
That leads the K-Rock Showbiz beat for a Monday morning. It's 5:51. Yes, Beverly Hills Chihuahua was number one. By the way, I wasn't surprised because I had seen articles leading up to the release of this movie where they were talking about how this thing was tracking through the roof. I mean, before it even opened, they were already talking about sequels for it because of the awareness of the movie and the people that said they were looking forward to going to see it. But I just thought when it came down to time to buy a ticket and actually give money to see that movie, I just thought maybe people wouldn't, but they did. Eagle Eye, number two, showing some real staying power for our friend Shia LaBeouf at $17.7 million. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist was number three. Psycho Mike, you're right. It was my kind of movie. I went to see it over the weekend.
Yeah.
Really liked it?
Well, yes. Michael Cera is so entertaining to me. I really just have always loved him since Arrested Development. I just think he's a terrific actor. He may be a one-trick pony, as we mentioned on Friday, but it's a hell of a pony.
It's a good pony.
It's a good pony.
Okay, and I'm excited.
I'm so deeply in love with actress Kat Dennings, too, by the way. Even though I hate Whitey, she's so my kind of woman. My God, do I love her. So that was number three. Knights in Row Dance was number four. Appaloosa, the new Ed Harris Viggo Mortensen Western, came in at number five. The Samuel L. Jackson Lakeview Terrace was six. Burn After Reading, the Coen Brothers movie, was number seven. Fireproof, which may be the only movie as bad as Beverly Hills Chihuahua in the top ten, is number eight. That Republican propaganda movie, An American Carol, debuted at number nine over the weekend. And that liberal propaganda movie, Religulous, came in at number 10. So that's the box office top 10 from this weekend.
Angelina Jolie was on the red carpet over the weekend for her movie The Changeling. She has a new tattoo. I don't know if you've seen on her arm. She has the longitude and latitude of where each of her kids were born.
Whoa. That's a lot of tattooing.
Yes.
It is.
And so now she has number five and number six. Our new tattoos on her arm.
Oh, my God.
And they were asking her how she gets back her svelte figure. And she said it was due to breastfeeding. Hear me?
Yeah. And you're going to say what?
How awesome she is.
How great is that? You know what I mean?
Those kids will never, ever want to grow up.
They'll never know how lucky
they are.
They're
going to want to stay babies forever, too.
They're going to be ruined for her life. Oh, but your boobs don't look as good as my mom's.
That's true.
The poor adopted kids, by the way, they didn't get to go through that. They didn't get to breastfeed.
No,
they're like
deprived.
The one she had. Oh, that's a good deal. Sacha Baron Cohen back in the news. You know, he's filming that movie, which has I don't know if this is going to end up being the title, but it's his gay fashion expert character, Bruno.
Right.
The movie's called Bruno, Delicious Journeys Through America for the Purpose of Making Heterosexual Males Visibly Uncomfortable in the Presence of a Gay Foreigner in a Mesh T-shirt. Of course, you know that by now. We mentioned last week that he had been thrown out of a fashion show in Italy. Well, it's happened again. Last Thursday, he appeared at a fashion show in Paris. And he tried to make two British fashion editors move by pushing them aside before pulling out a tampon from his vest, unwrapping it delicately, and then placing the tip in his mouth.
Oh.
I don't know if he was pretending it was a cigar or what the statement was. I don't know what it looks like in context of the movie. Then on Friday, he climbed on stage again during another runway show and attempted to pass a note to one of the models walking down the runway. He was ejected by security there. I can't wait to see how they put all this together in the film, but obviously it's going to be great because everything he does is great.
They're not watching out for him yet? That's so funny.
Yeah, apparently not. I mean, he's just sneaking in places. Oh, he is the best. Thank God we're not in Kuwait City. Yeah. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but there was a music concert by an Egyptian singer. And a girl gets excited, jumps up on stage, hugs and kisses the singer, cancel the show.
They stopped because it's public display of affection.
Yep.
Oh.
That's it.
They didn't
out.
Arrest her, did they?
Can you imagine? Everyone's like looking at her going, boo!
No.
They just walk off stage.
Gosh.
How about that?
That's not the way you want to see a show.
There was a religious cleric that I read about over the weekend talking about those oppressed nations that was, you're not going to believe this, but it's true, was talking about how burqas, you know, the clothing that some of the hardcore Muslim women wear that covers up everything but their eyes, shouldn't show both eyes because they could be used to seduce a man. He wanted burqas to only display one eye.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God.
I mean, why display any at that point?
Well, because you have to see to be able to walk around, I guess.
Well, apparently only with one eye. Like, you've already lost all your peripheral vision, and now you're going to... ones are walking into walls. That's all.
Basically, yes.
Is that unbelievable or what?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
We were talking about SNL over the weekend, which has really had some new life breathed into it at the start of this new season since Sarah Palin has been tapped by John McCain to be his running mate. They had a very, very funny opening sketch. Queen Latifah played PBS's Gwen Ifill, who was the moderator of the vice presidential debate for Real last week. She was very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Sarah Palin, of course, was played by Tina Fey. And the ratings have just been through the roof. I think they were within a point or a tenth of a point or so of the highest ratings they've had in the last, like, 10 years. I mean, it's just been it's getting bigger and bigger all the time,
and
thanks to this.
I'd like to see the ratings, though, after that skit.
Yes.
Because I'm guessing everybody knew it was going to be at the beginning. Uh-huh. Everybody tuned in, and then they were out because that show is horrible.
It's the worst.
There's if Tina's on, and then the Weekend Update is usually about the only thing worth seeing. And the musical guests, the Killers, were on, and they did do two new songs from the upcoming album, and they were both very entertaining. So
are we humans or are we dancers? Did they answer that question?
They did not answer that question. Right. Here's a highlight if you weren't able to be there on Saturday night. Again, from the vice presidential debate.
Governor Palin, how will your administration deal with the current financial crisis?
Well, first of all, let me say how nice it is to meet Joe Biden. And may I say, up close, your hair plugs don't look nearly as bad as everyone says. You know, John McCain and I, we're a couple of mavericks. And gosh darn it, we're going to take that maverick energy right to Washington, and we're going to use it to fix this financial crisis and everything else that's plaguing this great country of ours.
How will you solve the financial crisis being a maverick?
You know, we're going to take every aspect of the crisis and look at it, and then we're going to ask ourselves, what would a maverick do in this situation? And then, you know, we'll do that.
I'm going to vote for Tina if we can get her on the ballot.
Well, I didn't know who I was going to vote for until Shakira spoke. Shakira?
Really?
Yes.
Yes. She's, of course, the Colombian midget. Super hot. Her hips don't lie.
Right.
Multi-Grammy Award winner. She's voting for Barack Obama. So, as Shakira goes, I go.
Absolutely.
Her hips don't lie, man. Yeah, she can't vote, by the way.
She can't vote, but she's coming out in favor of, and she's asking all Hispanics to vote for him.
All right, so now John McCain has to find someone equally hot. He's got to get Jessica Alba to come out to just kind of tip it back to the middle then.
I guess.
And then what do you do?
As
right?
Shakira goes, I mean, that's the one I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Now that I know, I'm clear. We could have the election.
And finally,
today.
I think this is good news. We were all creeped out when we heard the report that there was a plastic surgeon who was trying to peddle the Anna Nicole Smith breast augmentation surgery video. Remember?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the ruling finally came down at the end of last week, and the judge has ruled once and for all that Dr. Gerald Johnson, or maybe it's Gerald Johnson, has no right to peddle the tape, that she never gave permission for the video. The doctor's defense was that he taped surgeries all the time and that the confidentiality agreement that he signed died when Anna died. But the judge said no, so he's not going to be able to sell it.
And I do you guys think I don't know.
Anyone would want to see it?
Yeah, that was my question. I mean, I don't want to see surgery.
It's nasty.
That's not sexy.
I don't know.
I don't think anyone would have bought it.
I don't think so either, but there's a lot of weirdos out there. But
imagine if that guy was your doctor, though, and now you see him in the news trying to sell video.
Would go to him?
Oh my God, he has video of me as well.
Yeah.
Well, he did a good job with her boobs. I mean, who would go to him? Somebody who admired Anna Nicole Smith's breasts, maybe. But yeah, you don't want that. You don't have to worry about video after the fact. You're not necessarily at your best on the table. So
That's not something you should have to worry about, for God's sakes.
Today's celebrity birthday is one of the hotties. She looks, I think, maybe even better now than she did 10 years ago, and that's Elizabeth Shue, is 45 years old today. Wasn't she, I think she was nominated for an Oscar maybe for Leaving Las Vegas, but she's been in a lot of great movies over the years. Ian Griffin, who was, of course, Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movie, turns 45 years old today. Creepy old Jeremy Sisto is 34. Mike, here's one for you. Lead singer of REO Speedwagon, Kevin Cronin. Come on. 57 years old today. Tommy Stinson, who's the bass player for Guns N' Roses, who joined The Replacements as their bass player, if I recall, when he was 12 years old. That's the one thing I always remember about Tommy, is how old he was. He's 42 years old today. And author, filmmaker Clive Barker, friend of the Kevin Bean Show, turns 56 today. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
All of the news around O.J. Simpson And everything else going on in the world of celebrity, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin coming up in about 10 minutes here on K-Rock.
Excellent.
Speaking of OJ, by the way, if he had had the new K-Rock sticker on his car,
yep,
probably would have been acquitted.
Yep, all counts.
Wouldn't be going to jail right now.
That's
if he'd
correct.
Just gone to a Del Taco in Southern California and picked up the brand new K-Rock sticker, he would also be entered if he sent in the back or registered online with the special number they have on the bumper sticker. He'd be entered to win a 2009 Toyota Matrix, which he could drive as slow as he wanted on
That's
the 405.
True. No one would care.
Also, the K-Rock Golden Ticket, which is tickets to every K-Rock show in 2009. We have all the details for you at krock.com. Get those stickers at Del Taco locations and go to krock.com as well to find out where Beer Mug is going to be every day at noon with additional free prizes that you can win. How about those Dodgers?
And now it's up to Alfonso Soriano, and how symbolic that is, Ron, that he would be the hitter, comes down to their last out of the series. 0 for 4 tonight. 1 for 13 in the series. Strike 1. 0-2. He went around. Strike 3. The game is over. And the Dodgers sweep.
I'd just like to say I could go 0 for 5.
I mean, and really. Strike out on 3 pitches to lose the game.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm. I thought about a lot of friends of ours, Kevin, that are big Dodger fans. You know, people like Psycho Mike, who would be so happy about that. And people like Rudy, for instance. Our friend Rudy, I know, is the hugest Dodgers fan in the world. And I believe he's actually calling in to talk about the Blue right now. Hey, Rudy.
Hello.
Is this Sad Girl?
Sad Girl?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi, Sad Girl. It's Kevin and Bean.
Oh, scandalous.
What's going on? Where are you guys?
Oh, Rudy, he's on the ground, passed out. It's scandalous. We're at Dodger Stadium.
You're still at Dodger Stadium?
We're at Dodger Stadium. Scandalous.
They didn't kick you out because the game was Saturday.
Oh, no. It's a big party. Oh, so fun. Scandalous.
Well, a lot of people very excited about the win, of course. You know, the Dodgers had not won a playoff game in 20 years. So, I mean, this is a big deal for them.
Crazy. Scandalous. You want the title, Rudy?
Yeah. If you
could
mind,
could you wake him up?
Baby, come here.
Wow, listen to that crowd down there for this time of day.
Oh, hey, what's up, babe?
Hey, Rudy.
What's up, Bato? Hey, what's up?
How about them Dodgers?
Dodgers are the bomb, eh?
pretty impressive to sweep a team like the Cubs that had the best record in the National League, huh?
Hey, wait up right quick. I need some breakfast.
Oh, here we go.
I thought you were just passed out.
You got a... Rudy, you got a band down there, it sounds like, and a bunch of people?
It's like the best day ever, like the best moment in my life. It's better than like when all my kids were born, than like even the ones on purpose.
Better than when your kids were born?
Oh, man, this is better than anything, for real. This is better than like when I graduated Trade Tech College or whatever. You know, like, I'm just so happy. The Dodgers are crazy good, and like I love Manny so much. I want to marry him, kiss him on his face and stuff, and like I'm just like, oh, I can't ask for anything more. Like the Dodgers are like the everything to me, you know.
Now, what did you think? What did you think the key to the games and the victories were?
Like, you know, the good stuff that they do, you
right,
know,
like specifically,
you know, like the run, like scoring runs.
You didn't
stuff.
See the game, did you?
Well, not. I mean, I couldn't like go in. I didn't have no tickets, man. The economy's bad, bro. You know what I'm saying? Homes? Like,
right,
the economy affects me too, bro.
Right, but it was on TV.
Oh yeah, and I don't got one right now. Like, you know, my neighbor, he found out I was like tapping into his cable all illegal.
Oh yeah.
In the garage, like he came over and cut that off, and like I can't get no job right now. You know?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like I can't even get paid dollars.
Well, I just remember all of you. You were so excited about the Raiders, and you never saw a game.
Oh, the Raiders were bombed this weekend too.
And I think they lost again, didn't they?
Whatever.
Or they had a bye. I don't know.
Oh, they had a bye. Same thing for the Raiders.
I'm just so happy that, like, the Dodgers and the Manny, like, I don't know. He's the bomb for president, and, like, he beat up on Kimbo Slice, I heard.
Nope.
And then,
nope.
Yeah.
No, that was a different guy. It was a white dude. Wasn't him at all.
Blue and white is right. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dodgers forever. I barely, like, just woke up because, you know, the band started playing. And Sad Girl's here. We're barbecuing. It's, like, the greatest thing ever, you know?
Okay.
You know, well, listen. You know that it's not the World Series. They haven't won. They have more games to play.
Fifth year?
What? Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, this was just the first round of the playoffs. This was just the National League Divisional Series. Now they got to play the Phillies for the National League title. Then they go on to the World Series if they win that.
Oh.
You thought they had won the World Series?
Yeah.
No, they just swept the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, man. Like, oh, it's all good. Either way, like, I'm so happy. I should be happy, though, right? Like, everyone.
Well, yeah, it's great news for Dodger fans, but it's not the World Series.
Oh, man. I got a feeling Grinder and Hancholo and Lokdog, all these guys that are down here, man, like, a little confused. Who cares? Hey, you know what I'm saying? Because, listen, hey, a rabbi and a priest walk into a bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go Dodgers!
The strange, strange happenings at the Elite XC fights on CBS on Saturday night.
Yes. So
that was one of the most bizarre nights I've ever seen. We'll give you some highlights coming up in just a second.
Okay.
And by the way, for a woman who got hit in the face a lot, Gina Carano sure holds up well at the end of a fight.
Doesn't
she? Looks pretty sporty, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Wow. Soundgarden on the way. Also, One Day as a Lion. We got Sublime coming up and Finger 11 next. First, though, how about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the world's greatest website. It's available 24 hours a day on the internet. And, of course, the TV show airs weeknights on Channel 11 at 6:30. Good morning, Harvey.
Hey, guys. Hello, it's me.
Hi there, Harvey.
Harvey, can you tabulate on your site? I assume you can, the number of hits you get on individual posts, so that you can rank how popular those celebrities happen to be with your public.
Yep.
What kind of hits are you getting on stories having to do with Sarah Palin these days?
Oh my God, it's huge. Well, it depends on what we're doing too. I mean, we just put a story up. God, this is so up your guys' alley. I'm looking at it right now. So there's this porn star named Lisa Ann.
Right.
And Hustler has hired her to play Sarah Palin in the upcoming flick Nailin' Palin.
Yes.
And
I love it.
Or as it's known, the true life story of John McCain.
Right. So we got her. We found her in New Jersey over the weekend.
Yeah.
So we just put it up, and I have to say, she in many ways, she looks exactly like her.
Really?
She had a pair of glasses in her purse, and she pulled them out for us. And I got to say, it's on the website right now.
Oh, that's
weird.
I'm
looking at it as well. By the way, when you say she looks exactly like her, from the neck up, you mean?
Well, that's why I said parts of her. and she says it too, by the way.
Oh, she's willing to admit that?
Yeah. So it's in pre-production right now. And it will be out before the election.
Oh, but, fantastic.
And it's the first of two movies that they're doing. There's a competing porn movie with Sarah Palin.
And what's that one called?
Do we know what that one's called yet?
No, we don't. It's untitled as yet.
Okay. Oh, that's the best.
But she does amazingly well. We put the we put the Saturday Night Live video up yesterday, and it's just like unbelievable. I mean, people. Tina Fey is just brilliant.
She is.
I mean,
yeah.
Tina Fey is just brilliant. But I agree with Lisa May. I mean, I think the Biden guy. I think
wasn't he good?
He was awesome.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, it was funny stuff. All right, let's draw on your lawyer background here and talk some OJ. Looks like, based on the evidence I've seen, as somebody who hasn't followed the trial all that closely, the jury pretty much got this one right, Harvey.
Yeah, but you know, I have to tell you, I mean, I have a long history with this case, and he was the guiltiest person I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
During the murder case.
Right.
And it was such an outrage, and I knew. I mean, I have to tell you, I knew that this day would come, because he got away with murder, and he was so arrogant that you knew he would just do something again. So this was no surprise.
But you didn't get the idea that he would realize that he escaped certain death?
No. That's not who he is. I mean, he got before the murders, he got away with so much. I mean, cops used to come up to his house all the time, and they would break things up. I mean, that's the irony, is that cops would constantly cut him a break. But he led this life where he could just get away with anything. And when he got away with murder, you just knew he wasn't going to say, wow, because I heard you guys earlier, that he was not going to say, oh, I got away with this, so I'm never going to do anything bad again. I mean, if you look at what he's done in the last, 10 years, he's been in trouble after trouble after trouble.
Yeah.
He's just gotten in so many problems. And this one, though, I have to say, he should have been found guilty, clearly. But they just threw the book at this guy, and I think part of it was payback.
That's
what I really thought.
Well, I don't know how it's not somehow deeply embedded in your conscience, even if you're not aware of it,
But you're talking about the prosecutor throwing the book at him, right? That's what you're talking about. You're talking about adding the kidnapping charges and things like that.
But I'm talking about everything. I mean, look, when you say to somebody, don't move, Does that really mean kidnapping where you're in prison for life?
Yeah, for folks who didn't hear, because it came down at a weird time Friday night around 11 o'clock, it's 12 criminal counts, including kidnapping, armed robbery, burglary, and, I mean, what do you think this...
It was crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's a lot of counts.
You know, he should have been found guilty, but my God, I mean, the prosecutors, I think they overcharged the case. But the jury, I mean, they did their job, but you got to know that this weighed in some ways, because what was it, the 13th hour of the 13th anniversary of deliberations, the 13th anniversary of the not guilty verdict. I mean...
Mm-hmm. It was a weird coincidence, that's for sure.
It was a weird, weird coincidence.
Harvey,
more so, than the fight.
Let me ask you about that jury, because I was watching Fox News on Friday night when the thing came down, and within an hour after the verdict, they already had people on who were saying, well, there's no question they're going to appeal. Of course, we expect that. But one of the things that they're going to appeal is because they're going to try to show that some of these jurors – we're using this as a payback, and it was because of their feelings toward the 1995 case that they voted the way that they did. Do they have any leg to stand on with that kind of approach?
No. I mean, look, first of all, these jurors went through questioning before they were picked as jurors. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I mean, look, people can't erase what they know about. I mean, you can't say to somebody, pretend like you don't know that O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of murder. It's impossible to tell somebody that.
Right, but you could tell them to try and just judge this on the face of this.
Well, and they did, but these jurors, these were people who say they weren't paying that close attention to the trial. Certainly not like we were in L.A.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, how are you going to prove that somebody based it on payback rather than on the evidence? First of all, there's a tape of O.J. Simpson doing it.
Yeah, there's the evidence. So, I mean,
there is that.
Tape of this guy. I mean, we are the ones that got that tape. It's really hard to say he didn't do it or wasn't.
Will there be anything to the aspect of the appeal that will argue that there should have been some African Americans on the jury, or does that not fly in court either?
Boy, would that be hilarious.
I hope not.
Would that be? I mean, look, the bigger thing, no, that's not going to happen. The bigger thing is that his lawyer allowed 7 women on this jury, and I think that was kind of a mistake. Well, I mean, I think that was a big mistake.
Because they would be sympathetic to Nicole Brown.
Yeah.
And that's what they would be thinking about is he killed one of us.
How do you erase that? And I mean, plus, you know, he's been accused by his girlfriend of hitting her.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I just think I was shocked that they had 7 women in this jury.
All right, last OJ question, then we have time for one more, and it's another courtroom case that's awesome. How much time do you think OJ will get? Will he spend the rest of his life behind bars, Harvey?
Well, he's going to get a minimum of 5 years.
But does that mean 5 years?
No. I mean, he could still get good time, but, you know, that's a minimum. And I have a feeling, given the number of charges here and given the number of the convictions, he's going to spend more time than that. I mean, this judge is not going to give O.J. Simpson the minimum sentence. There's just no way. I mean, I think he's looking at really significant prison time here.
Okay.
Really, really significant.
Well, I hope Elio Castroneves, race car driver.
Yeah.
We've had him on this show. Of course, he became a big heartthrob on Dancing with the Stars. He's still racing. In fact, won a race over the weekend, which I learned about on TMZ.com, by the way. Tell us about his tax evasion charges and how serious this is.
Well, this is hugely serious. We got a tip on Friday morning that there was going to be a huge indictment in Miami. So we were just kind of out there, and we were waiting. And it came down. I mean, when we got the call in the office, I just thought, oh, my God. I mean, it was so out of the blue. Apparently, at least the allegedly, excuse me, he was basically taking money that he earned, putting it in offshore accounts with the help of his sister and his lawyer.
Oh.
And we're talking millions and millions of dollars.
Does he live in the United States?
Yeah. He has a house in Miami.
Okay.
And he is accused of basically hiding, I think it's way more than $5 million, but he's been charged with conspiracy, with tax evasion, sister's charged, lawyer's charged. This is a really serious charge.
Is there a celebrity jail he'll go to and room with Wesley Snipes?
That's a good one, guys.
Was he really crying in court?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean,
because he could go to jail
for a long time. Come on.
You can't be a race car driver and then cry in court, Lisa. One or the other.
You can't have it both ways. Either he's a stud or he's not. You know?
Well, we'll see when he goes to jail.
Anyway, yeah. It was really stunning. But you know, those are cases where it's not like you see that stuff coming. I mean, with OJ, you see things like that coming. You knew that was going to happen eventually. With this, I mean, who knows what somebody does when they're cooking the books?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Allegedly, I should.
Allegedly, right. What you know, some weekends there's not that much happening for you, Harvey, I would imagine. But a weekend like this, you must have been working since we last talked to you last week. I bet you haven't had a minute off.
Okay, I'll tell you a funny story. I mean, maybe this isn't funny, but O.J. Simpson, when you guys were saying that, you know, it came down Friday night.
Right.
So I was exhausted. I mean, this is just a tough week, and I was just exhausted. So at like 10 o'clock, I start watching this thing, and it's going on and on and on and on, and they're waiting. I don't know if you guys saw, but they were live for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I was watching.
And finally, like at 10:45, I said, I can't do this, and I just needed to get a good night's sleep. So I took an Ambien.
Yeah, good. And then they started calling?
Well, no, and then I was just kind of laying there just about to go to sleep, and then I hear, guilty, 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 and I thought, oh, God. And I got up, and I just said, I went to the computer, and I said, I got to write this thing up. I mean, I've covered this guy for 13 years. I have to do this. And, I mean, there were like 90 spelling mistakes.
Yes. Yes.
And you ate everything in the refrigerator.
Nicely done.
Very funny. Well, the website is great as always, TMZ.com, TV show weeknight, 6:30, Channel 11. Harvey Levin, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
I'll see you guys.
By the way, less than an hour from right now, at around 7:20 or so, we have an announcement you'll be excited about if you are a Coldplay fan.
You know how I know you're gay?
Yeah.
You like Coldplay.
Oh, that's not necessary at all, but we do have details, and we have tickets you can win for an upcoming Coldplay show you don't know about. That's on the way from the world-famous K-Rock.
So Saturday night was the Elite XC on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we talked to Gina Carano, and wow, she's hot. And
yeah.
We talked to Ken Shamrock about his fight with Kimbo Slice. So
Gina Carano, by the way, woman she was fighting, not hot.
No, the opposite of hot.
Yes.
But
so, you know who I was rooting for?
Sure, yeah. The Pitbull? No, Gina Carano. Okay, so Kimbo Slice, Ken Shamrock. So I settle in on Saturday night. I'm very excited to watch this. And this is the first thing that I see is a recap of the weighing in, where Ken Shamrock shoves Kimbo Slice.
Yesterday, tensions were high as Kimbo Slice and Ken Shamrock weighed in and things turned ugly early. Kimbo turned his back on Ken Shamrock and was heard by members of the media close to the stage saying, "Don't ever turn your back on me." This weigh-in looking more like a Mike Tyson moment, and everyone in attendance ready themselves for a volcanic eruption when these warriors entered the cage. That was yesterday, but now things have changed dramatically.
Okay, so I was like, dramatically?
What happened?
What could have changed dramatically? By the way, and I don't think it's good for the sport that they're shoving each other like that.
Starting to act like boxers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's kind
of
what brought boxing down.
Should be a level above that.
So then he comes back and he explains what might have changed dramatically.
Bo Slice was supposed to receive his biggest test tonight against MMA Hall of Famer Ken Shamrock, but that fight will not happen. Shamrock was medically disqualified for tonight's fight after sustaining a cut over his left eye this afternoon.
So he's warming up, we're led to believe.
Yeah, what happened? How did he get a cut like that? He was sparring or something?
He said he was warming up and he took a head, is what he said. So I'm guessing somebody else's head hit him in the eye. And he had that was a previous cut from before and it opened it back up. He had to go to the hospital. He had to get 6 stitches.
Oh, my God.
He came back. The doctor said, "You can't fight tonight." It was on the day of the fight.
Yeah.
That's
a bad deal.
That smelled a little bit. I got to be honest. I was like, what?
You think he hit his head
against
a wall?
I don't know. I can't imagine. But how long has it been since a headliner of a fight had to cancel day of?
No kidding.
Yeah, you're right.
It was really bizarre, and he was not happy about it.
I fought through. This is to me, this is dumb. I understand what they're doing. I do. But I've had ACL that I fought through. I've had shoulders that I fought through. And then I got a little cut on my eye, and I can't fight. To me, I can't, it's hard for me to even swallow that.
That's what she said.
So he's saying he wants to fight, yes. But the doctors won't let him. I see.
Yeah, but he's got a cut over his eye with 6 stitches. I mean,
yeah, you can't let him fight like that. It's going to open on the first punch.
You could, but he's got to not get hit, which is unlikely.
Impossible, yeah.
Which is really weird. So Frank Shamrock is one of the announcers. He is Ken's adopted brother, and you get the idea that they don't necessarily get along all that well.
No.
And they go to Frank and they ask him about Ken being scratched at the last second.
All right, joining me as always, he is known as the legend and he is also the adopted brother of Ken Shamrock. He is Frank Shamrock. Frank, what do you make of all this?
Well, it's frustrating for one, but look, the doctor has the first priority, that's take care of the athlete. So the doctor knows what's best. But here's what I know. I've never seen Ken go light. What is he doing at this stage? He's right before his fight. What is he doing training this hard? What is he doing warming up this hard? And what is he doing getting a cut, disappointing the Shamrock family, and putting our legacy at jeopardy? Oh.
Yes!
Oh, my pile God. On, dude.
He's disappointing our whole family and putting our legacy at jeopardy. I was like, dude!
Wow.
Take it easy. That's his brother. That's his brother.
So now they're in a tight spot because now they've got the sold-out crowd down there for the MMA fight, and this is the top of the card. So they go, well, who else is in the building? Who yep. else can we find that may be able to want to go in the ring with Kimbo Slice? And I guess they had a guy that I've never heard of named Seth Petruzzelli, who was on one of the episodes of the – he was on one of the seasons of the UFC show. And they decided let him do it, right? And he's a – I mean, he's a good fighter. He's a young – he's, you know, he's obviously way younger than Shamrock is. Maybe he's a test for Kimbo, they think. The crowd's booing like crazy when they find out that Shamrock's not fighting.
Right, of
they're
course.
Not, they're not pleased with this guy they don't know coming in to fight Kimbo. That's not what they paid for.
So everybody's thinking, wow, this poor dude is just going to go in there and get sacrificed because he's last second. He hasn't trained for this fight. He hasn't watched film. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just going to get thrown in there. And then he knocks Kimbo Slice out in like 14 seconds.
What?
I watched that video on YouTube this morning. They called the fight at 14 seconds. Kimbo is on the mat at like 8.
Oh my God.
And he's just getting pounded. I mean, this kid, this Petruzzelli kid, he must have landed, I mean, no joke, in like 5 seconds, he must have landed like 9 punches on him while Kimbo's laying flat on the ground. So that's why the ref came and just pulled him off him because Kimbo wasn't even fighting back. I mean, he clearly wasn't going to jump back up and go for it.
Okay, so that's the weirdest night ever, right? So then they interview Kimbo Slice, and you tell me whether Kimbo Slice won or lost from this interview.
First of all, we'd like to thank you for taking this fight. The way you took this fight, it was a risk, and unfortunately for you, it didn't pay off.
Hey, for a lot of deal, we got to show some love for all the fighters tonight, man. It's all good. It's all good. I want to thank this man for taking this fight last notice. You know what I'm saying? I want to thank Tap Out for sponsoring me. I want to thank Blood and Bones, but Ben Ramsey. I want to thank everybody for coming out. You know what I'm saying? It was unexpected. It's all good, man. We still going to have the after party at Art Bar. Holla at your boy.
Kimbo.
And he just walks away. That's it.
What the hell?
He's like, we're still having the after party. And he puts his hands up like victory. Like, do you not know you were knocked out?
Holla at your boy.
It's the strangest thing ever.
Ralph is on vacation this week. We will continue to keep you posted with the Showbiz Beat every hour about this time. And you are going to love the new Amy Winehouse story so much, Kevin, if you haven't heard about it yet. Apparently, someone close to Amy Winehouse, no name here, just a source, tells Neil Sean of Fox News that Amy admits that her nose feels weak at the bone and she is petrified that it's going to fall apart.
Oh, my God.
Wow, friends, I wonder what that could be from.
Friends say that they are more than willing to help, but she apparently is yelling at people who bring it up, telling this insider, hey, it's my problem, just leave it alone. If her nose falls off, like Michael Jackson did. You know, that's avoidable, but boy, you have a lot of fun getting to that point, I guess.
There sure are a lot of ways to not have that happen. I'll tell you that.
Most of us have sure figured that out.
Yep.
I'm not joking. I mean, I know we laugh because it's fun and she's a celebrity. I'm not joking. I really will be surprised if she lives a year. I mean, I really will. I don't know how you live the life she lives and look the way she looks.
Yeah.
And get up in the morning. I don't know how she's still alive.
Well, I don't think she gets up in the morning, but in the evening, like a vampire, I think she raises her head. There's a new bromance brewing in the world of sports. Apparently, according to the Boston Herald, Alex Rodriguez wanted to go out to dinner with Tom Brady. And he was telling, I guess, a friend of his that he hoped their game would be rained out so he could go out to dinner with Tom Brady.
Really? Well, that's love.
Alex Rodriguez, Tom Brady, sitting in a tree.
Tom Brady has a more feminine body than Alex Rodriguez's last dinner mate, Madonna, though. So maybe that's
good
what
point.
It is. Box office over the weekend, number one was Beverly Hills Chihuahua, which is the movie about Drew Barrymore's voiced talking dog.
Yep.
It was number one at the box office out of all the movies that are available to see in cinema. It's the one that made the most money out of all of them.
That is true.
$29 million, Beverly Hills Chihuahua. And somewhere, somebody out there is writing a sequel already.
Oh, sure.
Eagle Eye, the Shia LaBeouf movie, was number two with $17.7 million. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist came in at number three. That's the one I went to see, by the way.
Oh, that's the one I wish I would have gone and seen.
I tell you, I think the K-Rock audience would enjoy a movie like that. It has some fantastic music in it and very appealing leads. And I'm very desperately in love with Miss Kat Dennings. Number four was Knights in Rodanthe. Lisa, how was that?
Give me some credit.
Really?
I did not
you didn't go see
that.
The Richard
Based
Gere
on
movie?
What?
No.
Number five, the Western Appaloosa, which I also hope to see. I'm a big fan of Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen. And, you know, there aren't enough Westerns being made these days.
Never heard of that movie.
Really?
Nope.
Ed Harris wrote and directed it.
Hmm.
Viggo Mortensen is in it.
Appaloosa. I ran ads for it in my traffic.
Yeah, but I don't listen to you.
Clearly.
It looks really good. Samuel L. Jackson, Lakeview Terrace was number six. Burn After Reading, the Coen Brothers movie, was number seven. Fireproof 8 and American Carol debuted at number nine. By the way, speaking of American Carol, if you haven't heard of that one, it didn't get a lot of press. They didn't have a big budget for it. But it's basically, it's from David Zucker, who's the airplane guy and the scary movie guy. And basically, it's a parody of the
Bam
Michael
Anderson?
Moore. No, yeah, I don't think she's in it, but Leslie Nielsen is. It's basically a parody of Michael Moore's movies. They have a guy played by Chris Farley's brother, Kevin, I think is his name. He's playing a filmmaker who hates America, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's basically a Republican movie or a conservative movie making fun of the liberal media, and I've heard that it's okay. David Zucker gave an interview promoting the movie where he said that in Hollywood, Republican is the new gay. In other words, you have to be in the closet if you're Republican, or you'll get blacklisted, just like it used to be with the gays in entertainment. He says when you meet other Republicans in Hollywood meetings, you give each other the secret look to let the other know that you loathe Democrats equally. But you can't come out of the closet and save it. Which I think Republican is the new gay. I think is very, very funny.
I got to tell you though, I think there's plenty to make fun of, but it doesn't look like that was done well. I mean, I'm not a big, huge fan of Michael Moore myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of angles you could take, but it just looked horrible to me.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, the movie needs to be good and needs to be entertaining. This is what we were saying about Fireproof. You know, there's nothing wrong with making a religious movie, but don't make it suck. That's all we were saying, right?
Make it good, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, right. And number 10, by the way, a movie that is getting great reviews and apparently is a lot more balanced than you would expect from a guy like Bill Maher, is Religulous, which is his basic exploration of the various faiths around the world and how true they might be. And apparently that movie is real good. I haven't had a chance to see that, but it rounds out the top 10 at the box office.
He does mock pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for the Saturday Night Live clip.
Yes, we do.
Sarah Palin.
Great ratings for SNL for the third week in a row as Tina Fey came back to play Sarah Palin. She was in the vice presidential debate this time. This is what they opened the show with. Gwen Ifill, the PBS moderator from The Real Debate, was played by Queen Latifah. SNL cast member Jason Sudeikis was playing Joe Biden. Very, very funny. Here's another clip from this weekend's SNL show. If you haven't heard it, I think you'll enjoy it.
Governor Palin, would you extend same-sex rights to the entire country?
You know, I would be afraid of where that would lead. I believe marriage is meant to be a sacred institution between two unwilling teenagers. Don't think I don't tolerate gay people, because I do. I tolerate them with all my heart. And I know quite a few, too. Not personally, but I know of them. I've seen Ellen. And there was this one girl in my college basketball team. She wasn't officially a gay, but, you know, we were pretty sure.
SNL has the weekend off, by the way, so there'll be no more Tina this weekend. But I don't know how they're going to keep her off. I mean, if John McCain wins and Sarah's vice president, they're just going to have to chain Tina Fey up to SNL and say, I know you quit, but America needs you.
Yeah,
you're required to continue.
What would happen with that? I mean, honestly, she couldn't possibly keep up the schedule, could she?
No.
Doing 30 Rock, she's writing a comedy book.
Yeah, and making movies. There's no way. I mean, eventually she's going to have to say, look, I love you, SNL, but I just can't keep doing it. But it sure is funny while it lasts. Today's celebrity birthdays. Fantastic Four actor Ian Griffith. He plays Mr. Fantastic, is 45 years old today. Actor Jeremy Sisto, 35. Actress Elizabeth Shue also turns 45 today. From REO Speedwagon, Kevin Cronin, ladies and gentlemen, 57.
Come
that
on.
Much for you, Mike. Tommy Stinson, bass player for GNR, is 42, and Halloween author Clive Barker is 56. That's the K-Rock Show.
We have a new boss's boss at the very top, who considers himself a motivational genius.
Yes, he does.
And he talks about The Secret all the time, and he's one of these just cliche, walking cliche machines.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about positive thinking, and if you think it, you can make it happen. And we came walking in one day, and there was a giant sign up that said, thoughts are things. Now, that took some, I imagine, some work, right? You got to think of it. You got to like it so much that you're going to share it with everybody.
And you must know what it means.
Right.
And then you make
your audience certainly does it.
Then you make a giant poster of it that says thoughts are things, hoping that everybody's going to walk by and go, yes, thoughts are things. I know what he means. I'm going to go make a lot of money today.
That's going to make me a better employee and a more positive contributor to the human race.
So we get this email, dear Kevin and Bean, and then we're going to take some calls from you, the K-Rock listener, because we know we're not the only ones with a boss like this.
Yes.
Dear Kevin and Bean, many of us have suffered under managers like Troy Coughlin, and now that K-Rock has one, well, as John from Cincinnati said,
the end is near.
Second, this seems to like a great idea for a call-in topic. Dumb things companies do to build motivation. For example, my company religiously follows a motivational program called Gung Ho.
Oh, now, that does not sound good.
I had never heard of this before.
Gung Ho.
So Greg goes on saying the whole thing is based on management book of the same name, and it involves a fictitious story about an offensively stereotypical Native American who helps a factory manager increase productivity by applying the characteristics of furry forest animals to the workplace.
You know those wise old Indians, Kevin. They know stuff, man.
I kid you not. You can find it on Amazon. The chapters have titles like, quote, The Spirit of the Squirrel, and, quote, The Gift of the Goose.
No. What does the goose have?
Please realize that I am
the
a
golden egg, Lisa.
I am a 40-year-old man who is being forced to read this tripe and be tested on it.
Wow.
Instead of, you know, working. Can
so
you
had
imagine?
To take a test about the goose?
Yes. Like you're in third grade.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen these or not, but sometimes in shopping malls, there's a store that sells all these motivational posters.
Of course.
Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Kevin and I are very similar in this way. We are not going to do a better job if there's a sign on the wall that says something like, do what you can, where you are with what you have. I mean, something like that is a perfect example of the kind of motivational poster that you would get at a store like this and that a lot of managers would have you hang up in a business.
But at least that makes sense. At least you could understand it.
Thoughts are things.
What are we supposed to do with that? I guess that's the whole self-fulfilling prophecy. If you think it can come into being.
And
kind
if you
of
think
a,
negative thoughts.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, he was talking about The Secret, in which you don't get fat from food. You get fat because you think you're going to get fat from food.
And don't look at fat people either.
Right. If you look at fat people, you'll get fat because he puts it in your mind.
Every blade of grass has its angel that bends over it and whispers, grow. Grow. One of the motivational posters
that
you can
buy. F does that.
F you. How does that help?
I'm not the kind of person who's going to get motivated by something.
Dude,
like that.
I don't think anyone is. I mean, I don't know who.
There has to be, because it's a billion dollar business. I mean, there's so much stuff like this. I mean, just like the businesses that make you go out and walk on coals. I mean, we've all seen that before. Or been, I mean, they come up with stuff like this that's supposed to make you be part of the group and produce better and have a better attitude. I don't know. I got no time for any of it.
My wife had to do that. It's the Tony Robbins deal.
Oh, she had to
really?
Go to one
yeah.
of those seminars?
And I said, what was it like? She said, her like hell. Okay, good. Well, that was a good use of the day. Let's go to Josh in Covina. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about your boss, your work, trying to motivate you. What did boss do, dude?
My boss works in the mortgage industry, as do I. Mm-hmm. And
good times?
Good times.
Of course. That industry's been going great.
Who needs to be motivated more than you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or him for paying his mortgage.
Sure.
But we would get into the office early, and he'd make us all go into the conference room and listen to the audio version of The Secret.
Oh, dear God.
Are you kidding?
No. And we would have to sit there in a circle, closing our eyes, and visualize the day and how we were going to achieve success and make him a bunch of money.
Visualize the day?
Oh, yeah, we had to sit around and tell each other how good we were and how we were going to make money and how, if you had positive thinking, you were going to get away. And,
did you say, how about if we go try to sell some stuff?
Instead of being in the conference room,
instead
listening
of
to this.
Try- Oh, my God. Why do people fall for this type of thing?
This is the great secret of life.
You know, this secret gives you everything you want.
Really?
Happiness, health, and wealth.
Awesome.
You can have, do, or be anything.
That's great
you
news.
Want. What kind of a house do you want to live in?
Do you want to be a millionaire?
What kind of a business do you want to have?
Do you want more success?
I want to play
the
for the Lakers.
The secret is the law of attraction. Everything that's coming into your life, you are attracting into your life. And it's attracted to you by virtue of the images you're holding in your mind.
I see.
It's what you're thinking.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking to you from the point of view of just wishful thinking or imaginary craziness.
Okay, that's the secret.
It's real craziness.
By the way, that is from the real audiobook of The Secret.
You know, if those people in the mortgage industry would use The Secret more, we wouldn't have the problems
right.
we're having today. I blame them.
They do not understand that thoughts are things.
Yes.
I'll tell you, and we lost our caller, but you can't talk to bosses like that and say, no, this is stupid. No, it's not going
right.
to help me. No, I don't want to do it. It's just assumed that this is what works for everybody and that you just don't get it, man,
yeah.
if you're not following The Secret or whatever it is, the message is that they're trying to put out there.
It's the whole positive vibe thing. I mean, I do believe in the power of positive thinking, but to a limit, for God's sakes. Get in a conference room and visualize your day. Come on.
Kevin, you have to believe in yourself and all that you are and know that there is something inside of you that is greater than any obstacle.
Oh,
you.
That's what I have to say. All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Your place of business tries to motivate you how?
We'll get right back to your calls and how work tries to motivate you. What lame things do you have to do because your bosses say? First, though, we got some information I think you'll be excited about if you are, like we, a Coldplay fan. Check it out. Coldplay coming back to Southern California. You couldn't get tickets last time because they sold out too fast. You got another shot. The Honda Center, November 25th. That's in Anaheim, don't you know? Tickets are going on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Coldplay at the Honda Center, November 25th. That is a brand new show. You're hearing it this morning for the first time on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. And we're going to give you a pair of tickets sometime between now and the end of the show. Just be caller 20 whenever you hear any song by Coldplay. That's coming up on K-Rock.
All right, let's talk about motivational geniuses at work. Let's start with Kristen in San Pedro. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. How are you guys?
How did your work try to motivate you?
They use The Secret.
The Secret. Okay, good.
Yeah, of course.
We're in outside sales, so we definitely need a lot of motivation.
Right.
And they asked us all to watch it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to pay for it, they gave us each a $5 bill to make sure we'd actually do it.
What?
And The Secret references a gratitude rock that you hold on to when you're feeling down to remind yourself of what you're grateful for. So they gave us each a rock as well.
They wow. gave you a gratitude rock.
That's nice.
Yeah, I love that.
Really?
Yeah.
How many businesses have Michael Scott as their boss, for real?
From The Office.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's at least a written character, but how many of them are out there?
I think there's a lot.
I think they're desperate.
Rock.
They just grasp at anything.
That's very, very funny. Thank you for the call. Let's try, we got some bizarre calls. Let's try Natalie and Reseda. She's on line one this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to the
Hello.
Program. What does your
Hi.
Boss do to motivate you?
Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
My boss, actually, it was like a whole company. Like, everybody, it was like a cult. We would chant Juice, and it would stand for Join Us in Creating Excitement.
Wait a minute. You would chant?
Around,
you would chant?
High fives, and we'd be like, Juice, 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 Juice. If you anything that was like cool, it'd be like Juicy. It was like the craziest
what?
Thing. I had to leave.
What did it stand for again?
Join us in creating excitement.
So somebody would say something that's a good idea, and you would go high five, Juice.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're so juicy.
Wow!
Wait till Troy Coughlin hears about
no,
Juice. He's
kidding.
Gonna love it.
We're gonna be high fiving to Juice now, thanks to you, Natalie.
Requiem for a Dream, too. I think they made fun of that cult. If someone knew someone was in there, and that's why in that, whatever, if you know that, see the movie, they're
yeah.
like, Juice,
yeah.
Juice, it's crazy.
Great.
That's hilarious.
That's perfect. Thank you for the call.
Mind
wow.
your own business, you stupid Jew.
No, no, no.
No,
it's Juice.
Not, right. It's
completely
different.
Hey, let's go to Robert in wherever on line five. He's in the city of wherever, which is one of my favorite communities, bedroom communities in Southern California. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Robert.
So I used to work at the airport, and I actually used to be one of the facilitators for a class called Eagles Flight.
Eagles Flight.
Yeah. And okay. The whole theme was that you're on a boat, and you're going from one island to the next. The islands had some lame names like Cincidonia, in which you're going to learn the time managing skills of the SEALs in this island because they mastered it so well.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. It also included a really lame video of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, which envisions you becoming a new leader or something. It was a supervisor training.
Wow. No.
Does anyone ever try to not participate? Does anyone ever speak up and go, that's lame, I'm not going to do it? And if so, what happens?
Well, they would have, like, a ball that they would throw around, and if you would catch the ball, you would have to participate no matter what. And they would literally throw it at you. If you missed it, then they would make you go fetch it.
Oh, you'll just let it bounce off your head.
This you know is what? How managers are trained.
Yes.
They watch a video with a butterfly in a cocoon. This is why we have the crappiest managers ever, everywhere.
Well, we certainly do here.
The worst part about it was a 3-day class.
Oh, wow. Kill me now.
Yeah.
We can't survive a half-hour meeting at K-Rock. I mean, they give us food, and we still can't make it a half-hour in a meeting.
Kevin All crawls right. out.
I can't, I can't take knees. It. I really
Let's
can't.
Try Michelle in Woodland Hills. She's online, too. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for holding. What are they making you do?
Okay, well, there's this motivational speaker, and he has a video out that the entire company had to watch at the theater.
Okay.
And his whole spiel is give them the pickle.
What does that mean?
Means something
whole
different
spiel
to
too,
us.
By the way.
What is it?
What does that mean? Give them the pickle.
In the video, he says that he used to be a restaurant owner, and one of his employees tried to charge a customer for extra pickles on their burger.
Right.
And that customer complained and said, I'm never coming to this restaurant again. So his whole thing is for customer service, just give them the pickle and they'll come back. And that's long, long running joke in our office.
He turned that little story into motivational video?
Yes, he did.
Give them the pickle.
With a little bouncing pickle across the screen.
Oh.
Just why? Give them the pickle.
Why? And then if you don't participate or you don't buy in, then they go, oh, bad seed, bad,
of course.
You know, right. We got to cut him out.
Yeah,
he's got a bad attitude.
We even have now a pickle award. If somebody gives us a compliment, we get this little trophy that has a pickle on top.
You must be so proud.
What the hell's going on? Thank you for
the call. All right. Well, we've learned a little something here today. Juice, 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 then give them the pickle.
That's
what the message should take. Not that I would ever suggest you turn us off and turn on the Today Show, but the guy with the best mullet I've seen in years is being interviewed right now on the Today Show. Got hit by lightning. Did you guys see that video?
No.
Guy pumping gas at a gas station on the security camera gets hit by lightning. Just laid out.
Awesome.
And it's fine, just like sore muscles and stuff. I don't know if that's what caused the mullet, but he's in bad shape. Kevin, are you ready to admit the baseball rules?
Yeah.
The Angels, of course, were down 2-0 to the Boston Red Sox in best-of-5 series. Had to win to stay alive at Fenway yesterday. Ended up taking it all the way to 12 innings before they won. So they are alive to play another day. That is going to be tonight. In the National League, our Dodgers, well, they swept the Cubs, don't you know?
And now it's up to Alfonso Soriano. And how symbolic that is, Ron, that he would be the hitter. Cubs down to their last out of the series. 0-4 tonight. 1-13 in the series. Strike one. 0-2. He went around. Strike three. The game is over. And the Dodgers sweep.
Remember when Tom was in the other day being a big Cubs fan and we played some of that Eddie Vedder song for him? Remember Eddie Vedder?
We are one with the Cubs we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs.
We kind of laughed at this.
Fair weather, but foul weather fans.
He loved it.
Like brothers in arms in the streets and us.
He says, I'm getting goosebumps.
There's magic in the ivy in the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. Someday we'll go out of
Not this year.
Someday we'll go all the way.
But not this year.
Someday we'll go all the way.
Yeah.
Maybe in 100 years.
So we got to talking about all of the celebrity songs that have been coming out about the teams. It seems to be the hot new trend. Eddie Vedder is not the only one who made a song for his favorite baseball team, it turns out.
Yeah, we found many different bands. One of them, a song from System of a Down.
Really?
Did you know they liked baseball?
Over 1 million Armenians were slaughtered by the Ottoman Turks during World War I. Largely unrecognized by the Western government. And they fired out. Are pretty cool.
There you go.
Did you know that was in there?
There's always a thinly veiled message in all of the System songs. I don't know if you could even catch what was going on there, but basically it's a Dodger song.
How about how about Social D? You know they were Angels fans? Not a lot of work on the lyrics there, but
yeah, right. That's your Social D. They pull it off with attitude, though.
Beck, did you know?
Oh,
no, I did not know.
Dodgers fan.
Okay.
Yep.
Ozone nightmare, candy cane, butt plug, cheese with sofa, shotgun, oatmeal, candy cane, presidential, stupid face, yogurt.
The LA Dodgers, oh, the LA Dodgers, oh.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but all right.
That's back for you.
Who else is from Anaheim, would you guess?
How about No Doubt?
Yeah.
How about No Doubt?
Well, girl power, I'm a girl, that means I'm rad.
Wait a minute.
Girls love baseball, Anaheim Angels. Girls rock so much, Harajuku girl, Harajuku girls. Play blues, baseball, with the Harajuku girls.
That's Gwen?
We couldn't find a female singer?
She doesn't sound that good.
Really? She has sounded better in the past. And we started out with that Eddie Vedder song.
Yes.
Apparently he's recorded another one.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the time since the Dodgers swept them.
Oh.
It was not pretty.
The Chicago Cubs. Oh, yeah. The Cubs suck. Suck so much. Yeah, the Cubs suck. You.
Wow.
The Cubs suck so much. You for disappointing me. Every year you choke. The Cubs suck so much. Oh, the Cubs suck so much.
That's nice as
a suck at playing baseball. You have the best record in the National League. Oh, you still got swept like a bunch of bitch asses. You.
Wow.
Oh, the Cubs suck so much. I wanna kill every one of you. Kiss my ass. I wrote pretty songs for you. And you still lost. You suck. You Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
Yeah, you lick my asshole. You suck so much. Oh, you suck. Yes, you really, really suck.
Wow.
That's kind of sad. I feel bad for him now.
He took that hard. Kevin Abicho, 753 on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We made the announcement earlier this morning that Coldplay is coming back to Southern California.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coldplay at the Honda Center, November 25th. That is Thanksgiving weekend, I want to say.
Sounds about right.
November 25th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay.
You can buy tickets for Coldplay, or you can listen to the Kevin and Bean Show between now and the end of the show. We are going to give away a pair of tickets to that show when you hear a Coldplay song. Be caller, did we say 20?
20 it is,
caller, yes. Caller 20. All right.
And in fact, we have Coldplay tickets for you every morning all this week on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Later in the week, ask a plastic surgeon and our favorite tattooed girlfriend, Kat Von D. All of that straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. First, though, big news Friday night. I don't know if you saw this or not.
We, the jury in the above-entitled case, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, as follows. Count 1, conspiracy to commit a crime. Guilty. Count 2, conspiracy to commit kidnapping. Guilty. Count 3.
Good morning. Guilty on all counts. O.J. Simpson is led away in handcuffs, facing the possibility of life in prison following a late-night verdict at his trial tied to an armed robbery in Las Vegas.
A lot of people very excited to see the juice finally in handcuffs. 12 counts, guilty on all 12. Sentencing is going to be, what did you hear, Lisa? December is when they're going to come
back
for
December,
sentencing?
It's in December, yeah. I was surprised how long it was going to take.
He's already behind bars. He's already in jail. I heard this morning he's in solitary out of concerns for his own safety. I say go ahead and let him out into the general prison population. He's to protect OJ at this point. Come on.
Yeah, they wouldn't even let him leave the court. That was awesome.
Really?
Turn around, sir. Nope. Turn around right now. We're going to cuff you.
Wow.
He's, what is he, around 60? Early 60s? Something like that?
I think so, yeah.
If he ends up getting, you know, 10 or more years, it's very likely he may end up dying in prison. So a lot of people are very, very pleased to see that happen. And it did happen, and he's now 1 for 3 in the major trials of his life. But I'm sure he wishes he could go back and do this one. Maybe let the police in on, hey, someone stole my stuff, instead of hiring some guys with guns to go get it back for you. Maybe that's the way to go.
After talking to Harvey this morning, it seems like O.J. Simpson, if it wasn't that, it was going to be something else.
Yeah, that's how he saw it. That's
like, he didn't have any really clue about the whole, hey, I got lucky the first time. He just figured he could get away with it every time. I don't know. It just seems like he was not, he's not the kind of guy that would learn from his mistakes.
I'm starting to think the juice is not a good dude.
Well,
don't
he's go
the juice.
He's just trying to be a good guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Miley Cyrus celebrated on Sunday her 16th birthday at Disneyland.
Disneyland. Did she buy Disneyland while she was there?
Well, they closed it down, and they sold tickets for $250 a ticket.
And where did that money go?
5,000 people showed up.
Oh.
I didn't read far enough down the story to see where that money went. I imagine it went
to Disneyland
charity?
Or charity?
I would guess it would go to charity if they're going to announce how much they made. I imagine it would have to.
But can't you imagine families that don't hear about this showing up at Disneyland on Sunday?
Oh,
you know, they've just driven
nightmare.
2 hours or whatever, and it's like, $250 a ticket you can get in.
This was a closed party that night, I guess, unless you had those tickets, but $250 a piece.
A little pricey.
5,000 people. And she performed 4 songs. Fantastic.
Well, that's worth every penny.
Okay. Yeah. Box office over the weekend, no surprise, except for people who want to have confidence that America's going in the right direction, that Beverly Hills Chihuahua was the number one movie over the weekend with $29-plus million, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Kevin called it. That's families.
That's all kids.
Yeah.
It is. It's got to be, right? And I mean, this has not been a great summer and fall for kids' movies. There haven't been a tremendous amount to choose from. Kevin, you've got to be so glad your kids are past the age where you have to take them to see some of the kids' movies.
Yeah.
I don't know
if
they're into this one or not, but at least some of the dumber ones now, even they're laughing at, right?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing is that you would crawl through glass just so they would smile. So all those things that you said you would never do. I'd never go see something like that. You'd do it in a second if it makes him happy.
Right.
But thank God, you don't have to all the time.
It's not even just the talking chihuahua. I mean, George Lopez is in this movie. Seriously, isn't that enough to keep you away?
Yeah.
Eagle Eye was number 2 at the box office over the weekend, $17.7 million. That one is showing it has some staying power. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist came in at number 3. That's the one I saw. I think if you're a K-Rock fan, you'll like that movie. Tremendous soundtrack in that movie, by the way. And that Nora, played by actress Kat Dennings, not too hard on the eyes, and I always love seeing Michael Cera. He's terrific in this. Knights and Rodanth, Lisa, came in at number 4. The new Ed Harris, Viggo Mortensen Western Appaloosa was number 5. Samuel L. Jackson's Lakeview Terrace, 6. Burn After Reading with George Clooney and Brad Pitt, number 7. Fireproof, 8. An American Carol, number 9. And opening this weekend, Religulous. That's the Bill Maher documentary about religion. Your Megan Fox movie, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's Foxtober. That movie's not even in the top 10. What's up with that?
Wow.
I don't know. I do know that there weren't very many people in my screening that I saw. And I don't know. It wasn't very good.
Oh, that's too bad.
It really was.
But it was worth seeing, being Foxtober. I mean, if Megan Fox is in it, you pretty much
right.
It can't be a waste of a ticket, right?
And she plays the, you know, the sexy superstar that doesn't know how sexy she is, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But at one point, when Simon Pegg's character chooses Kirsten Dunst over Megan Fox.
No.
Yes.
You didn't tell me it was science fiction.
Oh, I was like, no way. Started yelling. I turned around. No way. Got everyone to leave.
Here's a new musical supergroup. Psycho Mike, I think you'll be excited about this. It is Sammy Hagar is the lead singer.
Oh.
Michael Anthony from Van Halen is going to be playing bass. Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is going to be playing drums.
Nice.
And on guitar, here's a name that guitar fans are all in love with. The average fan may not know Joe Satriani's work.
Wow.
But he's going to be playing guitar for this new band. They don't have a name yet, but they have recorded about 9 songs so far. And they plan to do more by the end of the year, mix it in January, have a CD out next April, followed by a tour. So
Pretty cool.
So I guess with Van Halen going on without Sammy Hagar, he found some other guys to play with. And that, I mean, that has the potential to be pretty good. Those are all excellent musicians.
Yeah, no, it has the potential to be excellent. But a lot of times when you get supergroups together like that, it also has the tremendous potential to be horrible. Because it's like one of those things where you just got too much talent in one place, like Petros was talking about with USC. And it can go really wrong really quickly. But we'll see.
I got to tell you, speaking of horrible, Ashton Kutcher is getting ready to put on another reality show. And he could not have picked a more boring human being on the face of the planet than Michael Phelps.
No.
You're kidding. God, no. To do what?
This is the dude that won the 8 gold medals, and that was impressive. And
sure.
The story was impressive, and it was an amazing moment, and he beat that dude by 1/100th. But every time you see him, you nod off to sleep because he's just, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
He's only good in the water.
Yeah, basically.
I got no time for him on land. What will he be doing in this show? Just his day-to-day life?
They are talking him into letting the cameras document his life since becoming a superstar. Michael Phelps.
No, please.
He's the most boring sports superstar ever.
He really is.
Like all the fun stuff that he did, like being on Jimmy Kimmel's special and the Saturday Night Live thing, all that's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much dying down anyway?
Pretty much just him walking around town going, yep, that's me.
Although I did see, I think it was on TMZ.com over the weekend, they had a shot of him in New York with, they say, a woman who may be his new girlfriend, who was, I think, the runner-up in the Miss California USA pageant. And she was unbelievably hot. And I'm thinking, thank God you can swim, dude, because you would have no chance with a woman like that unless you had something else going on.
He may not even with 8 gold medals, depending on how much time she spends with him.
Yeah, that's true. Lisa, you mentioned Saturday Night Live. Of course, that was the season opener with Michael Phelps 3 weeks ago, and the ratings have been great this season. Many think because of Tina Fey, who's not even on the show anymore, but somehow they managed to talk her back 3 weeks in a row to come back and play Sarah Palin. It was very funny again this week. It was the opening sketch right out of the gate at 11:30 on Saturday night. They were doing a parody of the vice presidential debate between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin, and Queen Latifah played the moderator, Gwen Ifill. Here's another clip. We've been trying to bring you up to date in case you missed it from this weekend's Saturday Night Live with the great Tina Fey.
Governor Palin, address your position on global warming and whether or not you think it's man-made or not.
Gwen, we don't know if this climate change, is man-made or if it's just a natural part of the end of days. I'm not going to talk about that. I would like to talk about taxes, because with Barack Obama, you're going to be paying higher taxes, but not with me and my fellow maverick. We are not afraid to get mavericky in there and ruffle feathers and not got to allow that. And also to the great Ronald Reagan.
And well, you want to get all mavericky in there.
Sure.
Anyway, that's great. Another clip for you next hour. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Elizabeth Sue is 45 years old today. From the Fantastic Four, Ian Griffith is 45. Tommy Stinson of The Replacements and Guns N' Roses is 42 years old today. Horror author Clive Baker is 56. But the reason we celebrate today, ladies and gentlemen, the leader of REO Speedwagon, Kevin Cronin, 57, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it, Steve.
Keep on loving you.
All right, Miss Cleo, thank you.
It's the only thing I want to do.
never hear her more excited about a band.
Here's the problem with this song. Blows.
Amazing.
Blows. But,
and I'm gonna keep on.
Yeah. All right, that's fine.
Get stuck in your head like nothing else. That song, yeah. Now everyone will be singing that all day. And it's Miss Cleo's
song. I've never seen Miss Cleo get so excited about any band we've ever discussed on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, come on.
Are they your band? Sakes.
They are.
No.
Keep on.
That's the K-Rock show
there. I don't want to sleep. I just want to keep on loving you.
I know this is an unpopular thing to say, and I will probably be roundly taken to task for it, but why are we so desperate to have people who don't want to vote to vote? What's the...
Well, because kids hanging back and not voting like they did in the last election, well, you see what happened there.
Oh, so the younger people
tend to vote Democratic.
Tend to vote Democratic. Okay, that makes sense because all of these videos that are up, they're driving me out of my mind about, you know, you got to vote, you got to vote, you got to vote. This one is from Jessica Alba, who I used to love before this video.
We now really, it's that bad? Snatch yeah. It up with Jessica. Our final item up for grabs today is the Muzzler 2008. If you have no plans to vote in the November presidential election, then this is the product for you. This handmade mask has a craftsman's touch that will leave you literally speechless. Now, if silence is your thing, shop no further. Call 323-472-GO08 for your very own Muzzler now.
Okay. All right.
I kind of agree with you, Kevin, that if somebody doesn't pay attention to who's running,
right.
How much do we want them about to vote. The issues, then how much do we want them to just go in and pull the lever because you want them to vote for your candidate? I mean, I kind of understand where you're coming from on that. People who do have an opinion, people who do care about who wins, who do pay attention to the news, those people really should be motivated enough to vote. But if they're not... It's not mandatory to vote. It's not required.
Oh, how
it's
a, dare I you? Mean, that's a religion, Bean. You're slandering the religion of voting.
No, I mean, it is a privilege. It is a right, but it's not mandatory. It's not required. If you don't want to vote, you don't have to. I kind of agree with you on this.
Wow. I didn't think that would happen.
Well, honestly,
I thought I would get slapped down.
If you're paying zero attention.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. How
and,
much?
And it's not just the presidential race you're voting on. There's a lot of important stuff.
Well, that's what a lot of people don't realize about politics, and it takes till you're old to realize that the closer the election is to local, the more it has to do with how it affects your life in many cases.
Yeah.
So the presidential is the one that gets all the attention, but there's a lot of other things, especially in California with all the, you know, with all the amendments and laws and things like that are passed by voter appeal. Those votes affect you more than who's running the country.
I mean, all I know is I voted for weed every time it came up. That's all I know. Weed.
Look
how that worked out.
And by the way, how about the kid who's, you know, cruising YouTube and comes across your Jessica Alba video and says, well, if Jessica Alba says I should vote, I'll vote.
See,
if you're really getting it from Jessica Alba, you should be making decisions based on that anyway.
This might just be me, but I really think people are too scared about what celebrities say. It seems like everybody panics, like, you stop using your platform for political, you know, gain. You're an actress. Just stick to that. Really, is anyone voting for a candidate because a celebrity says to?
I got to tell you.
Anyone.
We get emails. We're not celebrities, but we get emails occasionally from people saying, you know, young people listen to you and you're really influencing what
right.
they say. And I find that very hard to believe.
Me too. Me too. So have you seen the Don't Vote video?
I heard about it. I did not watch it because it sounded too stupid.
It's at the Kevin and Bean page, krock.com. You can click on it. It's Leonardo DiCaprio, Christina Applegate, Benicio del Toro, Forrest Whitaker, Jamie Foxx, Sarah Silverman, Jonah Hill. It's a huge group of celebrities. And they're taking the very unique angle of Don't Vote. And then they, after about 10 minutes.
Is it like not? At the end?
Sort of, yeah. Yes. They say don't vote. Here's a little up.
Please, just don't vote. Don't vote. This is one of the biggest financial disasters in American history.
Why would you vote?
Who cares? The economy's in the toilet. Who gives a shit? I don't care.
I got so much money.
Jonah Hill is the only funny one on this.
That is funny.
Everybody else is like super serious and is going down the whole don't vote.
Because who cares about, you know, your children's education?
Who cares about global warming and the fact that
our polar ice caps are melting?
I hear polar bears can swim.
I forbid you to vote. Stay where you are.
Don't vote.
Okay, listen. Are we hoping to guilt them into it? I mean, really, you browbeat people like this and they'll go, you know what? I should care more.
All those people got together.
Yes.
They took the time. They just go to the polls.
They
what
just
the hell?
Make me go, hey, shut up, all of you.
I don't think most people care what the celebrity thinks anyway. I mean, there are a bunch of different ways to look at this. First of all, it doesn't bother me at all that they do it because they have every bit as much right to speak out as the guy at the gas station.
But I can call it stupid.
Absolutely. Okay. And it is stupid. Doesn't bother me at all that they do it, but I also don't know how much influence it makes. I mean, there are some exceptions. Let's say you're an Oprah fan, God forbid. Let's say Oprah is your woman and you've been watching her for years. When she comes out and supports a candidate, you may think you spent enough hours with Oprah and you guys have enough in common and your belief system are similar enough to hers that maybe you ought to listen to what she has to say. But most of these celebrities, I mean, you know, Rage Against the Machine is a great example. We just had Tom Morello on last week. We heard from a bunch of K-Rock listeners who said, I love that band and I love going to see that band. I don't care what he thinks. Thousands of people showed up to see Bruce Springsteen doing the Barack Obama rally in Philadelphia over the weekend. I bet a lot of them aren't going to vote for Barack Obama. They just like Bruce Springsteen. Right. They don't care what he has to say. They enjoy his entertainment.
So that's the question is there – because it seems like people are so afraid of what about it? What if the great masses are drawn to what these celebrities are saying? I don't think anyone out there really cares. I think they tune it out just like they do talking heads.
The people can totally separate someone's art from their beliefs. We do it all the time when we go to the movies.
Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 if you honestly think that this has some kind of influence.
If Paris Hilton tells you who to vote for.
Yeah, who is listening to that? Yeah. Who's going, okay, Paris says.
Check.
So we're looking for people who think that the celebrities are making a difference when they speak out politically, it does translate into votes. That's what we want?
I guess, because I can't imagine that's true.
I can't imagine there are very many of those people. And I'd love to know if there's a celebrity out there who you paid attention to and you are going to vote the way that person says because of them. I'd love to know if that exists.
Or the opposite of the way that person says because you hate them so much.
That's true, too.
Maybe it works just the opposite way.
I got 19 kids. Never used abortion once.
Seriously, do not vote. Voting is absurd.
It's ridiculous.
Who cares
about the war on drugs?
I've never fought a war on drugs. I've never done shit on drugs besides played Halo 2.
Do not vote.
So that goes on for like 5 minutes. And then they say, unless you care, then vote.
I'm voting for Jonah Hill, I'll tell you that.
He's the only person in that whole thing that isn't annoying. So we'll take your calls next. 1-800-520-1067.
Hi, I'm an undecided California voter. I didn't know who I liked in this year's presidential election. Then Spencer Pratt told me to vote for John McCain.
I think you think in that case, John McCain's camp gets back to him and says, thanks for the support, but
I think
not going to need that.
If it works, I think the candidates are delighted when the celebrities speak out to try to get people to vote, get people to vote for them. But the question we're asking is, does it matter? Are there any – I mean – You can be annoyed by the celebrities. You might even enjoy the celebrities. But are you ever really going to vote based on what they tell you to do? Or do you just say, shut up, whatever?
Let's start with Melody in Santa Monica. Good morning, Melody.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are good. Thank you.
I think that it can help the voting. I think we underestimate how easily influenced people are, especially young people. And I don't think going to go vote because one celebrity tells them to, but I think they see like all these celebrities telling them to vote, like, oh, that's probably who I should vote for. And I'm speaking on behalf of people who are not educated in politics. And,
okay, you know, but Melody, let me ask you a question. Would that influence you?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Would that influence you to go vote? I didn't think so. See, that's the thing, is that everybody that calls in and says that thinks that for somebody else.
Other people, but not them.
But not really for themselves, I don't think.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, not only young people, but there are people who don't even, parents who don't speak English, don't know who to vote, and their children who may be younger, under 18, can't vote, will tell them who to vote for. And I think that, especially those kids, like, they have, well, I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of all of them, but they don't know a lot about politics. And for my grandmother, for example, she doesn't speak English, and for me, I can just tell her, hey, go vote for Barack Obama because that's what I think you should vote for. And she's going to
And she
vote.
Does?
Yeah.
But I can understand that. I can understand that situation that you're describing because you're a family member who she knows and presumably cares what you think. She trusts in your values and your judgment because she knows you. But how many people are going to turn on the TV this weekend and see Bruce Springsteen playing an Obama rally and say, I didn't know yet, but if the boss is in, I'm in. I mean, do those people exist?
Yeah, I don't think it's just one. I don't think one person's going to be like, hey, Paris Hilton said to go vote for Barack Obama.
Well, if Paris says it.
Just a lot. The influence of all of the celebrities coming together, and some people think, like, oh, hey, then that's who I should go vote for. I mean, we forget, like, people will go out and buy ridiculous-looking shoes. Why? Because it's what this celebrity is wearing. So what's to say they're not going to go
that's
vote for?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I guess. But
that is a really good point. People do a lot of stupid things that celebrities do. You're right about that.
But even if you're not an educated person, you do have basic values, and there are basic value differences between those two candidates. So it's hard for me to believe that if your values are on one side and a couple of celebrities tell you to vote for the other person that you would switch over like that.
Yeah, I think most people who claim
stuff,
that,
you know.
It seems like most people who claim that are always worried that it's the other great masses, not them.
Yeah.
This is like their fear, but I don't think it's true.
Melody, thank you very much for the call. Good comments. Let's try Tatiana from Tustin. She's on line 5 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tatiana, welcome.
I would have to agree with Melody a little bit, especially with the first-time voters. You know, if they see, you know, Diddy and, you know, people from their favorite bands telling them to vote for Barack, you know, if they were leaning towards one, you know, they don't really know what's going on, so they're going to be like, I'm going to vote for who this person says.
Is that true of you?
I think when I was a first-time voter, when we were, you know, when Schwarzenegger was, you know, we were voting him the first time.
Right.
You know, I would have been more inclined to vote for, you know, Bustamante or, you know, whatever, because, you know, all the Democrats in California are, you know, the people at my school were going, you know, he is the right choice. Obviously, it'd be stupid to vote for.
Right, your school, but you just mentioned Diddy. There's no possible way
Diddy
is influencing anyone.
If, like, Jimmy Eat World said, hey, vote for, you know, Barack Obama, if I was 18, I'd be like, okay, you know, I trust these guys. You know what I'm saying?
So you would pick your party that way? Do you think you would pick your party that way?
When I picked my party, I think I was, you know, just trying to figure out what I believed in. But, I mean, there's so much different stuff that, you know, I would take influence from somebody I thought I trusted, you know.
Okay. So. Thanks for the call. Hey, Diddy, what about Sarah Palin?
Alaska? Alaska. 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 Come on, man.
Let's try. Wow, we got some good calls here. Let's try. How about Joe in L.A.? He's on line 4 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Joe. What do you think?
Hey, guys. Joe with Independent Capital Management. I think the last two callers really nailed it on the head. Young voters definitely idealize actors and actresses and celebrities. Like they were saying, you know, they're buying the products that they use, going to the restaurants or whatever that they go to.
Is that true of you?
It was when I was a younger voter. I mean, I was definitely easily influenced. Used to watch MTV a lot, and, you know, MTV... They pretty much always back the Democratic candidate.
So if you're sitting there and you don't know who you're going to vote for, and then the 3-6 Mafia comes on TRL and says, Obama, that's it. You know, you're going out to vote Obama?
If I'm not doing my own research and that's all that I see, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Especially 3-6 Mafia,
if
for God's sake. Come on, I don't buy it.
All right, here's an interesting take. Carol is in San Dimas. She's on line 7. She says, if I have this right, Carol, it depends on the celebrity. What do you mean by that?
Because, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
And I am an old lady, probably one of the older ladies that listen to you guys. I'm 58, and yes, I live in the Inland Empire. Wait a minute, wow. Anyhow, I think it depends on the intelligence of the person that you're listening to. The guy that answered the phone says, yeah, mention Tom Likas. Yeah, every once in a while when I'm commuting, I'll turn him on for like 30 seconds because after that I can't take him anymore.
Yeah.
Right. But I think you guys are intelligent and it would make a difference in what I thought or at least add to what I was trying to evaluate. As
you
far
think
as
both of us are intelligent or just being?
Yeah, that's cute. I think all of you guys are. I really do. I think you're highly intelligent, and so I would value your opinion.
Okay, but just for the record, I think I speak for the room here. We're not trying to get anybody to vote for any candidate. I don't want anybody to get the impression from anything they've heard on this show that endorsed any candidates or are suggesting you vote for any candidate. We don't care who you vote for.
I understand that, but I think that if the general public kids, and they probably do listen to people because, as the other caller said, they idolize them.
I don't buy it.
Well, I'm just thinking that, yes, there could be some influence, but if they care enough to actually go vote, they must have some ideas for themselves.
You said they must. That's
they
not
must, but because
true.
Then we they hope. Don't go vote. Yeah. They just don't take
I
the time
if,
to
yeah,
do
I
it.
Yeah, I think if they don't, then they wouldn't vote. I don't know.
If they're that disinterested, they're not getting off their butt to vote.
Thank you for the call, Grandma. We appreciate it. Let's close with Jessie. She's in Lakewood, and I think this is one we can all agree on. Hi, Jessie. You have the final word on the Kevin and Bean Show on this topic. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm a guy, but it's cool.
Okay.
I didn't say anything to suggest otherwise.
Jessie's naturally defensive about that.
All right.
Jessie, we didn't say a word about your sex.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, young lady.
We all know who's going to decide the presidential election and who's going to be the next president.
Who?
Whoever Megan Fox says is going to be president,
yes.
You know.
That's a good point. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a good point.
Republican, but I'll vote socialist if she endorses a socialist.
Announced a little bit earlier this morning, Coldplay is coming to the Honda Center on November 25th. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10. Keep listening for a Coldplay song and be caller 20. We'll give you a pair of tickets to that show.
How nice of us.
That was quite a step up in venue from the K-Rock Listeners' backyard that they played last time they were in town.
True.
This is a band that's going somewhere.
All right, time
for the right direction.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine. We get more than our share of Lisa May love, I'll tell you that.
The voice of Lisa May makes my butt itch.
Not sure what that
means,
though.
That's in the love category?
Yeah,
that's
I don't
where
know.
You compliment? Put that?
That's the main category.
I think he's allergic to me. That's what that means.
Could be.
In the
I've never heard
area.
That. I've never really heard the buttle area itching. Yes. Dodger fan?
Isn't it ironic that the year you do not have Kevin and Bean Day at Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series. God damn, you guys are bad luck, but come on, guys!
It is interesting, except for 17 of the last 19 years that they haven't made the playoffs. We didn't have Kevin and Bean Dodger Day either.
Yeah, well, that falls apart there. What was that noise in the middle there? I didn't understand what that was.
Stepped on his dog. Hey, Mike, how are you feeling about the Phillies? You happy with them as an opponent?
No, they're a tough team. They're a tough
team.
They
looked really good this weekend, I'll tell you that.
But they're a free-swinging team, too. And if the Dodgers' rotation can pitch like it did for the Cubs series, I feel good.
Yeah, it's nice to have all this time off this week, too.
Me and my coworker just got a little fight because he couldn't handle the fact that the Cubs lost to the Dodgers, man. What the f***? That is awesome.
O.J. Simpson found guilty on Friday night of all 11 charges. Were there 11?
12.
12.
12 charges. Guilty on all 12 counts.
Hey, O.J. Ha
ha! That says it all.
Guilty! Guilty! Guilty!
The people love him.
Mm-hmm.
Omar did a really terrible Foxtober song. Really just awful.
How dare you?
Just terrible.
Congratulations, Omar. You and your stupid song. You killed my Foxtober asshole.
This person loves our talk about Megan Fox.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox. Hi, I'm Megan Fox. Hi, I'm Megan Fox. Stop it already. You're driving me insane. She's hot, though. I'll give you that much.
Excellent point. So, by the way, standing by with the Megan Fox song. If you need just let me know.
Got no time. Thank you, though.
So the numbers are just in, and the number one movie of the weekend is... That was a drum roll. Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Oh, Mike, I hate you.
Okay. Is he doing his own show? Like in his basement? What's going on there?
It's the Bean is Gay Remix 2008. Bean speaking here. Why is it that people think I'm gay? Why?
Don't do drugs, people. I think that's what we're saying today.
Don't do drugs.
Good advice.
And I hope you saw Saturday night the Elite XC fight on CBS. The weirdest stuff happened. Ken Shamrock was scratched at the last second because he got a cut over his eye warming up on the day of the fight.
Has that ever happened
and
before?
Six stitches? I don't know, but this listener was very happy with what happened.
Kimbo Slice, you got knocked the f*** out!
Yeah, there was another guy that stepped in, and he knocked him out in maybe 7 seconds, eight.
That's amazing.
The referee stopped it at about 14, but it was a destruction. But they were talking about Ken Shamrock and how he had to, you know, be scratched from the fight. And his brother, Frank, is an announcer, and apparently there is no love lost between these two.
All right, joining me as always, he is known as the legend, and he is also the adopted brother of Ken Shamrock. He is Frank Shamrock. Frank, what do you make of all this?
Well, it's frustrating for one, but look, the doctor has the first priority, that's take care of the athlete. So the doctor knows what's best. But here's what I know. I've never seen Ken go light. What is he doing at this stage? He's right before his fight. What is he doing training this hard? What is he doing warming up this hard? And what is he doing getting a cut, disappointing the Shamrock family, and putting our legacy at jeopardy?
Okay, take it easy, dude.
Our legacy?
Hey, he didn't do it to hurt you. You know that, right?
Disappointing the whole family and putting their legacy at risk.
I know they have
I'm embarrassed to be a Shamrock because he wouldn't step into the ring with six stitches in his forehead.
So then some other dude, Seth Dudzinski, Petruccelli, stepped in the room, Petruccelli, and just destroyed Kimbo Slice. But you wouldn't know it by the post-interview with Kimbo Slice right after he got knocked out.
First of all, we'd like to thank you for taking this fight. The way you took this fight, it was a risk. And unfortunately for you, it didn't pay off.
Hey, for a lot of deal, we got to show some love for all the fighters tonight, man. It's all good. It's all good. I want to thank this man for taking this fight last notice. You know what I'm saying? I want to thank Tap Out for sponsoring me. I want to thank Blood and Bones, but Ben Ramsey. I want to thank everybody for coming out. You know what I'm saying? It was unexpected. It's all good, man. We still going to have the after party at Art Bar. Holla at your boy.
Kimbo.
He just walked off. He wasn't done with the interview, but he just walked off.
He's got a party to go to.
He did not sound like a guy who'd been in a fight because he had been there for 15 seconds.
It's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Holla at your
he
boy.
He also didn't sound like a guy who lost either.
No, he sounded like he just won the fight. That was a bizarre night, I'll tell you that. 323-520-AFR. Oh.
That's not Coldplay, damn it.
Nope.
Want to win the tickets for the upcoming Honda Center show? Just be caller 20 when we played Coldplay. It will happen sometime in the next 60 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's KRQFM passing Los Angeles and time to look at the showbiz beat. Ralph is out today. We lead with an important story from West Hollywood at the Petco. Psycho Mike, were you there over the weekend?
Of course.
When I heard that the hamster race was going on at the Petco in West Hollywood, I thought, well, don't you know about that? But it turns out it's a nationwide event that they do every year, and it happened to be Saturday. In fact, I was at a Petco on Saturday, and the employees in the Petco were putting the track together. What they do is they have hamsters race, and you show up and cheer for your favorite, I guess. Well, the reason I bring this story up in the showbiz beat is because TMZ.com was there and caught Al Pacino and his kids at the Petco in West Hollywood. Watching the hamster. I guess he's got twins with that actress, Lisa. Who was he with? Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got twins there. Here's what TMZ reports. A crowd watched breathlessly as the hamsters were each placed on a plastic track. The critters were somewhat disoriented as the crowd cheered them on. This began to alarm Pacino, who worried out loud that the hamsters were going to have a heart attack. D'Angelo fired back, relax, they're just hamsters. There's also some talk in the article that there could have been a ringer brought into the race because a little girl brought her hamster to Petco and would look like a professional pink and green striped carrying case.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Sounds like maybe somebody brought in a pro and spoiled what could have been a nice amateur day in West Hollywood with a bunch of hamsters.
That's BS right there.
There's your Al Pacino update right there for you.
Amy Winehouse is afraid her nose is going to fall off.
Well, she would know.
She should be.
One source tells Neil Sean of Fox News, and thank God Fox News is getting this big scoop, that Amy Winehouse admitted to her friend that her nose felt weak at the bone and is petrified it's going to fall apart.
What would cause something like that? A 25-year-old woman.
Nose to fall apart.
Is there anything she can do about
it? I doubt it.
Probably not. It's just either going to happen or not.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think she could look any worse. I think if the nose fell off, you'd barely notice. It'd be the least of her problems. Our friend Sacha Baron Cohen back in the news. The guy just gets better and better. The Ali G movie was great. The Borat movie was great. And it looks like the Bruno movie is going to be just as good. Of course, if you haven't seen this character yet from the old HBO show, he plays a flaming gay Austrian fashion icon. The film is set to be called, at least as of now, Bruno, Delicious Journeys Through America for the Purpose of Making Heterosexual Males Visibly Uncomfortable in the Presence of a Gay Foreigner in a Mesh T-shirt. He has been going all over Europe for Fashion Week, and he was in Paris last week at the Stella McCartney show, and he tried to move two British fashion editors during the show by pushing them aside, sat in a chair, pulled out a tampon from his vest, unwrapped it, and then placed it in his mouth.
That's
I don't
very
know
bizarre.
If he was pretending to smoke it or what the point was of it. He was not tossed out of that show, but the next day, this last Friday, he apparently jumped on stage again and tried to pass a note to one of the models who was walking down the runway at the time. And in that case, he was ejected by security. I guess they're, I don't know how people don't recognize him at this point, but I guess he shows up with a camera crew and they think he's part of the media or something. The next thing you know, he's filming something for his movie, but I can't wait for it.
Here's one scene that has been leaked. This is him as Bruno talking to, what are they, just like frat boys, I think, in Florida someplace. And he's got them all shouting, P-A-R-T-Y, party. And then at the end of it, he turns it and says, you know, say, welcome to gay TV. And they are not happy.
Go.
About that.
So let's just do that, but like with more energy, like
more.
Okay, just do it, but with more energy, okay?
P-A-R-T.
Let's do it, but with more energy this time. That was a little bit low. Go.
P-A-R-T.
Just say, hello, this is Jim.
Hello, this is Jim.
And I saying hi.
Saying hi from Daytona Beach, Florida.
To Austria, to Austria Gay TV.
Say, what? Austria Gay TV?
Yeah.
What do you mean Gay TV?
Well,
f*** out of here. You said Gay TV?
Jim. Yeah.
No, no, what do you mean Gay TV? There's no f*** Gay TV involved in this.
Oh, no, no,
this is... get involved in Gay TV.
This is a gay show.
So great.
Why is he the best?
And we mentioned Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I think the Afro caller brought up that was the number one movie at the box office of the weekend. Inexplicably, I guess, unless you have kids, $29 million. But the highlight of the weekend for me was seeing Miss Tina Fey once again on Saturday Night Live. Third weekend in a row, she has been on to portray, as she does so beautifully, vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin. They were parodying the debate, the vice presidential debate that happened last week. Queen Latifah is playing Gwen Ifill, the moderator. Here's a little bit more of Tina answering one of the questions.
I would now like to give each of you a chance to make a closing statement. Governor Palin?
I liked being here tonight answering these tough questions without the filter of the mainstream gotcha media with their follow-up questions, fact-checking, or incessant need to figure out what your words mean and why you put them in that order. I'm happy to be speaking directly to the American people to let them know if you want an outsider who doesn't like politics as usual or pronouncing the G at the end of the word she's saying, I think you know who to vote for. Oh, and for those Joe Sixpacks out there playing a drinking game at home, Maverick.
You'd get drunk very, very fast if that were the game you were playing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Terrific actress Elizabeth Shue turns 45 years old today. Ian Griffin from Fantastic Four is also 45. Actor Jeremy Sisto is 34. Didn't we play some sort of game with him on the Craig Kilborn program one time?
Yeah.
Wasn't he a competition in some sort of a game on late night TV one time?
Yeah, Kevin? He destroyed us.
Oh,
I don't know how that ever came about, but...
Tommy Stinson, bass player for Guns N' Roses, and before that, I guess he was with Replacements. Is that right? He's 42 years old today. Clive Barker is 56. But the reason we celebrate today, ladies and gentlemen, the lead singer of REO Speedwagon, intern Miss Cleo's favorite band of all time,
dear God.
Kevin Cronin, is 57.
God, that's
don't
unbelievable.
Let Ario.
And I can't find
Wow.
Okay, then. Good. That's the K-Rock Showbiz. All right. Bean has been talking for quite some time, maybe a week, about how exhausted he is. He's so tired. He's so exhausted and tired.
I know. He's been bitching and bitching.
And we couldn't figure out exactly what was going on. And then he started talking about getting up in the middle of the night with puppies. Now, the word was not puppy.
Nope.
It was puppies.
I don't ever want to hear the word puppies again, in fact.
And the thing about Bean is he's the guy that owns the 75 animals, but he hasn't gotten any new ones in quite some time. So some of them have been passing away, and he's starting to get the feeling that he's going to run out.
Well, I was down to 10 pets. I mean, basically, I looked around, and I realized I was down to 10 animals. And
what do you have now? What do you have for 10 animals? You got a pig still?
Two pigs. Sophie and Godzilla. They're 11 years old. I got a donkey, Happy. He's 24, I
want to say. Still alive.
Wow.
Yep, Happy's still alive. I'm down to just one cow. You know, I lost two cows this year, so it's been a rough day, a rough year on the farm. So I'm down to just Buttercup, and she's about 13 or so.
Okay.
And then I got the three sheep. So that's what I got for the outside pets. And then inside, I had four dogs most of this time, and I lost one earlier this year. We lost Santa's Little Helper, so I'm down to just three dogs, the youngest of whom is Tater Tot, who's 9 and a half. And then there's Chin Ho, who's 13, and Atomic, who's 12. So my wife and I were sitting around realizing that we had these three elderly dogs. Why are you laughing, Mike?
It's just amazing. You go down this list. It's unbelievable.
Because you have 20 pets. No, you don't have 20 pets. You have 10 pets.
10, right.
10 is too many for most people.
It's a crap load.
It's a crap load.
Literally, right.
Yeah.
But only the dogs live in the house. So you got the three dogs in the house, and they're all elderly at this point. I mean, think about it. Tater Tot is the youngest, and she's 9 and a half years old. So we were kind of looking ahead toward a day that was coming fairly soon, unfortunately, where we weren't going to have any dogs at all.
Right, but that day is going to be staggered out over the course of about, 6-7 years. So you're going to replace one as they go?
Well, here's what we started thinking about. I mean, unfortunately, Chin Ho and Atomic and Tater Tot are probably all going to be gone within the next, I don't know, three or four years, I'd imagine.
Right.
So we thought, why not get a puppy now so that we know at least we're going to have a dog when we lose the older dogs, right? So then we started talking about getting a puppy. And then Donna said, well, you don't just want to get one puppy. You want to get two puppies because you don't want that dog to be by his or herself at the end.
Don't get a new dog when you have an elderly dog because the new dog will bond with it. And when the old dog dies, the new dog, it takes it very hard. They may never recover.
That's exactly what Donna said. So I signed off
so
on
you
go
wait
ahead.
Until the other dog dies.
No, as one goes, then you go pick out another.
So I signed off on getting two puppies, okay? Now, two puppies, to me, is a lot.
It is. It's way too many.
It's about as much as you want to handle at one time. So Donna was in charge of the puppies.
Uh-oh.
And for some reason, when she went to get the two puppies, there was another puppy that was so cute that she couldn't leave him behind, too.
No.
So she ended up bringing home three puppies at one time. In the same house.
Oh, my. And you've also got three other dogs.
And he's got 10 pets besides.
Yes.
And including three other dogs.
Three puppies.
I'm not going to end up like a hoarder like Mike and live in a house with 75 dogs. It's not going to be me. Although I will say now that I have six for the first time in my life, it is absolutely too many.
Really?
What is the
unquestionably
racket like
too many.
In
Who
your
could
house?
Have guessed that? Three older dogs and three puppies at the same time.
Now, I haven't had a puppy for a long time since Tater Tot was born, and that's been over 9 years. So I kind of forgot that puppies are full-time nonsense. I mean, they pee and poop their own weight every day.
Really?
And I don't know
Pretty
how.
Pretty much everywhere.
I wish that information was out there. There was some way to predict that that might have been the case.
I have no idea how they're able to generate that much waste out of one little 11-pound dog. I really don't understand how it's possible that they do that. And they do it. What's weird about a puppy poo and a puppy pee is that they do it. They spread it out over, I don't know, 50 separate instances a day. It's not like they do it once or twice a day. They do it every 20 minutes. And
you're Aussie. That's what you are. Yes. With all the dogs running around taking dumps everywhere, that's your life.
And there's no way to cycle up the puppies so that they're all going at the same time and on the same schedule. So you're full time grabbing one and taking them outside and then bringing them back in and then grabbing the other one and then taking her outside and then bringing her back in. And you can't get them all on the same sleep schedule,
really?
Although you try.
Uh-huh.
And somebody's always yelling about something and somebody's always biting somebody's ear and somebody's always complaining over here and doing that over there, and it's just nonstop.
Where do all these puppies sleep?
No way to predict that.
Why didn't you guys tell me?
They do not sleep in your bed with you.
It's too many puppies. No. Right. No, they can't. They can't.
Because they don't have control of their bowels yet.
Yeah.
Well, when they do.
I've never stopped them.
And you gotta cut puppies some slack, because part of it is that they have to be develop over the course of a few months of age, not only to learn about being potty trained, but also to be able to physically hold it. I mean, they don't have that kind of control.
Right.
That's why
they
don't get control. Three at a time.
That's why you start with one and then you train it.
Guys, I have a crazy wife who's got a giant empty hole in her heart being married to me. Let's face it.
Of course.
She needs something to love.
Right, but she has 10 pets before the three puppies.
Yes.
So now she has 6 dogs, three of them puppies.
Yes.
In the
house.
That
is accurate. That is true.
6 dogs in the house.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
You don't want to imagine. You don't want to imagine. I mean, the one thing about puppies is, and we all know this, is they're about the cutest thing in the world.
Yes.
I mean, you love them so much, and they're so awesome, and they're so much fun. But you don't really want to get a bunch of them at one time. You just
really
don't.
Any way to predict
and you know,
that.
And you know, I kept thinking, how do Brad and Angelina do this with no help and kids?
Oh,
how do they do that?
I don't believe they have no help. I can't imagine that.
That's what they always say.
6 kids.
Yeah.
They have the number of kids you have dogs.
I can't even. I mean, if they haven't killed themselves yet, I can't kill myself. I have to be strong because they're able to do what they're able to
do. Shoot, so you're saying if they would have killed themselves, you'd be up for it?
I'm just saying it's 2 goddamn many puppies.
So 2 pigs, 1 donkey, 1 cow, 3 sheep, 3 dogs. Not enough for Farmer Bean. 3 more puppies.
What kind of puppies?
Loud.
Okay, gotcha. That's
what we're sorry, you must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, stand back from Kevin. You don't want to be too close to him when he hears what the prize is today.
How dare you?
Pair of passes to join Psycho Mike for a night of hockey, music, food, and drink at the exclusive K-Rock tailgate party at the Staples Center for the Kings playing the Carolina Hurricanes on Friday, October 17th. It is hockey time.
How great is that?
Very cool.
Unfortunately, you got to spend the evening with Psycho Mike, but you do get to see some NHL action. That's what you get for being on the air. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. Why don't we start with Hugo in L.A.? He's on line 5 this morning, calling about the big MMA fight Saturday night. Hey, Hugo, what's up?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
Nice to meet
Halloween version.
Kevin Bean curse is back.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you guys cursed and screwed Ken Shamrock.
Oh, that was weird. You're blaming that on because we talked to him?
Yep, that's the Kevin Bean curse. You guys should know that.
But we also talked to Gina Carano, and she won.
How about that?
Now what you got?
I love Megan Fox.
Nice. Okay, good enough. That's a good save. That was a good save.
That's going to be the new default answer if your boss calls you in and asks where the reports are. You just have to stop and think about it and then go, I love Megan Fox.
Those of you didn't see, Ken Shamrock pulled out of the fight. Well, I guess the doctors told him he couldn't fight because he had cut his eye earlier in that same day, Saturday. Yeah. So Kimbo Slice fought some other dude that knocked him out in 7 seconds. All right.
If you want to call it a fight. Hey, let's go to Jack in Ontario. He's on line 7, also calling about the big Saturday night action on CBS. Hey, Jack, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do, guys?
What's going on?
Like, oh, hey, Gina Carano annihilated her opponent Saturday night, and she's hot.
By the way, those girls do not fight like girls you would think, like when you're growing up and you say that in a negative way.
Yeah.
They battle those two
they
girls.
Do.
They were destroying each other.
Another thing, I don't know, people who watched the fight saw this, but at her weigh-in, Gina Carano,
oh, it was the best.
She constantly has trouble making weight. That's just one of her things. She might actually have to fight a little heavier next time because it's just something she struggles with. So anyway, she's weighing in. She's like a 3 and a half, 3/4 of a pound heavy. Mm-hmm. So she decides, I need to take off all my clothes. Usually they weigh in a sports bra and like some panties, like tight panties. She says, I got to go naked. So she does. She strips
You're
down
kidding.
Naked and she has some of the luckiest trainers or whoever.
Yeah, her handlers.
I guess, Florida State athletic board guys with towels around her. And they're just standing there just totally staring at her butt naked.
My God.
And it's unbelievable. Yeah, because
she made weight.
And she made weight. She made weight. Thank God she took off all her clothes. She she's not pretty for a female athlete. She's really good looking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
What is that thing? He can't hear me. All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Ken is in L.A. He's on line two calling about potentially the next vice president of the United States, Sarah Palin. Hi, Ken. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
And baby Lou.
Hello.
Got a quick little thing here. Like, imagine Sarah Palin for VP. Like her daughters are just, like, so freaking hot. Like, but, like, the whole idea behind this, like, imagine all the shenanigans behind it, like, all the incidents that will occur, like, if her daughter, like, if she becomes VP and her daughters become, like all famous and stuff like that. It's going
to
be amazing.
That would be quite a time to keep track of those girls.
That daughter's going to be married and raising a baby in Alaska.
I don't know. I like where you're heading with it, but the problem is that the press has been showing some restraint in recent years over the president and vice president's kids. Like, there kind of has been an unspoken, hey, don't cover my kids while I'm in office. And the press, unfortunately, has been following that. So I don't know that we get to see all the cool stuff that goes on with them.
I think if they're over 18, they would treat them differently.
The Bush girls were older than that when they were in college, of course, and the press just agreed to not cover them out of deference to the office, which kind of sucks because you're absolutely right, Ken. The nonsense that they would get into, those girls. And by the way, the hot pregnant one wasn't at the vice presidential debate, but I didn't realize that one of her sisters is pretty sporty, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Good call.
Voting for comedy? Are we voting for competency? Or are we voting for heat? What are we voting for? What's the shenanigans?
So many decisions.
All right, let's go to Mandy in Covina. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning. What a do.
What a do.
So my husband went to the L.A. Dodger and the Cubs game.
Yeah.
And he's a huge Cubs fan.
Yeah.
And when he walked out to his car was keyed.
Insult to injury.
Not only did the Cubs get swept, but somebody keyed her car.
Someone didn't think that was enough.
Yeah, he's
bastard.
Why not just him being a Cubs fan enough for his misery?
Yeah,
wow.
No kidding.
Our car.
Nice.
That sucks.
Well, it sucks to be
Thanks
a Cubs
for the
fan.
Call.
Thanks for the call.
And let's do one more. Do we have time for Maylee in Compton on line three? Maylee, is that your name?
Miley?
Yeah, that's where it goes. Maylee.
Maylee. Okay.
That's a terrible name. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to school, you know, trying to go in there as fast as I can because I'm, you know, in traffic and everything. And, you know, throughout the freeway, I'm seeing this big old line and everything, and I'm pissed off because everybody's. And I get off, all of a sudden, I don't think he's seen a cop. Kind of looks like a cop, stops us, and waiting for the funeral people to go in the funeral. And I'm thinking, why is this guy rushing? He's already dead.
If I could,
you have to go find a hole?
Could you translate? Because I don't speak Bluetooth.
If I could translate, because it's hard to hear you, Maylee. She's mad that there's a funeral going by, and they're making her wait, because what's his rush?
He's already dead.
What's the rush? Let her get to school.
I mean, he's already dead. What's the point? Does he have to go find a hole?
That's it exactly.
I think if they didn't have a police escort and close down streets, a lot of those cars would get separated in traffic. Am I right, Lisa? Is that why they do it?
Yeah. It's just a nice thing to do. And
it's kind of courtesy, I guess.
You just happen to have the bad luck of getting behind him. They're not Russian, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay.
No, they're American, probably. But I'm just saying.
All right, go find a hole, Maylee, but thank you very much for the call. And I want to thank our special guest on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, the one and only Harvey Levin. Of course, TMZ.com is the website of record for all things entertainment and the TV show weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show, attempted bribes of the police.
Ooh, interesting.
We want to know if you tried to bribe or if you're a policeman or policewoman, if somebody tried to bribe you and what it was they tried to bribe you with.
And if it worked.
Saw a story in the news this week about someone who offered a lap dance to a cop to get out of a ticket. That's what made us thinking about it. And all the time in movies you see, someone will pull a wallet out with the driver's license and put a $100 bill in underneath the driver's license and say, here, officer, check this out.
Here's my ID. also, tomorrow we have Spencer, because The Hills is on tonight, of course.
Excellent. Sure.
We have the tragic story of the Japanese fat dolphin. I don't know if you heard about this yet or not, but
it is kind of sad.
Very sad. The dolphins are all overweight, and they can't really swim.
Unless you love tuna, in which case it's not sad. Like Maylee did.
And also more Coldplay tickets for the show that we announced this morning at November 25th at the Honda Center. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10. We have your tickets tomorrow morning.
Cat Corbett up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Love Hurts from Incubus, also Nirvana, Weezer, Linkin Park, Killers, and more after this.